kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
You hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, great. You sound perfect.
You sound pretty good, too. Your video is still loading, though, so I'm not sure if that's going to pop up or not.
I don't know either.
It's just this swirling circle.
Yeah, this is right. So this is the new webcam.
Hi.
Hi, hello. How's it going?
Am I too far away from the mic? Am I good?
You're good.
I can hear you fine.
Fantasticals.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see video.
Yeah, I'm guessing your video is not going to load.
Do you want me to try a few things?
Nah,
it's
fine.
Or do you want to just go with audio?
We could just go with audio. I usually just do audio anyways.
Okay, yeah, all you're going to see is like my mug with a whiteboard in the background, and maybe if I can get this dog to show up on camera, that would be it.
I am pro dogs on camera, just for the record.
I know. Are you more pro dog or pro cat on camera?
I'm equal opportunist. I have 4 dogs, but I also have a cat and 2 rabbits and 40 chickens and 9 ducks. I live
on a partridge in a pear tree.
That is pure madness.
I used to have goats. I don't have goats anymore.
So you live on a farm, clearly.
Yeah.
Nope, big city.
Yeah. These bitches are in an apartment.
That would be amazing if you were in an apartment with all of those.
Right?
I'm just imagining you've got this, like, John Stewart lifestyle where you have this, like, farm and you're just, like, working out in the middle of, like, upstate New York with them all the time and then occasionally calling in for podcasts.
Do I sound like I could get away with living in New York? Is my accent that hidden?
I actually think your accent would be great for New York.
Oh, I'm from Kentucky.
Really? No, New York's got all sorts of different accents. But upstate is very different than New York. And by the way, this is like great podcast material we should be recording.
We basically record it. As soon as Joe hits call, he starts recording because I go off on some of the most insane tangents.
I do. I record everything.
Perfect. Okay, then I won't reference it anymore.
I got a little bit of an echo.
From me? Who's it from? Is it from me or Joe?
Test.
Hi, my name is Eitan. I hopefully don't have an echo.
I'm so glad you pronounced your name because I was going to butcher it.
It's Eitan. It's a weird one. Yeah, just the EI is an A sound.
Eitan, got it. Eitan.
Yeah, and it, as long as we're doing confusing to pronounce things, 20XX is fine, or 20XDX is also fine, whichever one you prefer.
I've been going with 20XX.
20XX is what we usually call it, too. But
2000XX.
No. There is no thousand.
Is it Roman numeral 2020?
Wait, say that again?
2020? Roman numeral?
If it was Roman numerals, it would be MMXX, right?
Well, it's just a hybrid of 2020, I guess, for perfect vision.
So, I'm just thinking in my head. So, if it was 2020, it would be MMDD, right? Is D 10? What's 10?
X is 10.
Oh, X is 10. That's right. Yeah. That's right. X. Of course. That's why you were making that.
What is
D? So what the hell is D? Is that like 50 or 100? No, C is 100. D must be like 50. I'm looking it up.
I think L is 50.
Yeah.
I think 500.
D is 500. That's what it is. Yep. Thanks.
This conversation has escaped my redneck knowledge range.
But
you were talking about goats.
Football's a very redneck thing, right? And that's
it is,
all.
But I don't do. I'm also female and don't do sports balls.
I see. Well, I'm a game developer, so neither do I.
So. Yeah, that's another mark on me is that I am a female and I am a gamer and I just don't do sports balls.
I like football.
Well, the one sports
you also
ball
like
I do
the
is
wrestling.
I do.
Yeah. Cole, the one sports ball that I do is probably the one that you would least recognize because it's ice hockey.
Okay, because there's no actual ball in that. That's a sports ball minus the ball.
Yeah.
It's a puck ball.
It's a puck ball. Right. and then everybody slips around on ice all the time, and then suddenly the game is over and somebody won.
I just suddenly had flashbacks to last month of my injury.
Oh, God. Do you want to share your story quick so that he understands?
I dislocated my knee after I fell in dog puke.
That's awful in so many ways. First, let me ask the serious question. How's your knee doing? Is it better?
I have a torn MPFL.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So I'm, because I have rheumatoid disease and I'm a chemo patient, it'll be like 3 to 6 months or whatever for it to heal. But I'm better than I was. Like, I can at least walk around with my cane and stuff now.
Okay. And they got like a brace on your knee, I'm guessing?
Well, yeah. I'm waiting on UPS to bring it.
So in the meantime, it's just duct tape and like popsicle sticks, I'm imagining?
Pretty much. Yeah, like they gave me an ace bandage. I've had to deal with this whole thing with people going, oh, you just sprained your knee. It's fine. Just don't fall anymore. And I'm like, yeah, I can't walk.
Just don't fall anymore. Let me tell you, if I was capable of following that advice, we wouldn't be here in the first place.
But I walk with a cane anyway before I got injured. And so then afterward, everybody's like, well, at least you already had the cane. And I'm like, yeah, fuck you. Because I spent 2 weeks with a walker.
Least empathetic answer ever. Well, you already had the cane, so.
By the way, this is basically how the show goes.
So. This is the entirety of the show.
No, that's perfect. Let's just keep jamming. And whenever you want to start talking about the game, we can do that. That's good, too.
I should just keep all of this.
Yeah. You should. Yeah, just cut out the weird parts where I keep referring to us recording.
No, you got to keep that stuff.
Yeah, Joe never edits anything.
Yeah. Well, every now and then I'll edit.
From Futurama, I only do one take. Amateurs.
I miss Futurama.
Oh my gosh! Except it kind of, it wasn't as good at the end. You know,
it was a good finale though.
It's true. They always say what you will about Futurama. The finales, and there were many of them, were always excellent. But some of the filler episodes, kind of like in season, I want to say 5 and 6, were just not very strong.
No.
There's like an episode where Mom starts making iPhones, and it is cringy.
And it doesn't age that well either when they try doing that stuff.
It was past its expiration date when it came out. So, Cole, you're not a Futurama fan?
I am not. I've never watched Futurama.
Oh my
God. I don't watch a lot of TV. I mostly play games.
What?
But I mean, when you have like 74 games to review a week, you don't get a lot of free time for TV.
Oh, I totally hear you. But boy, are you in for a treat if you ever decide to watch it. One of the best things I've heard of, there's an entire community of people out there on the internet who are called Futurama sleepers. And they put Futurama on and they go to sleep to it. Like that's the background noise for falling asleep for them. And I think it's amazing. I think it's brilliant. So if you ever want to watch it, that's how you could do it. You could fall asleep to the episodes.
Watch it in your sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this would cure my insomnia and I might finally stop going to bed at 4 a.m.
Yeah, right. If you figure out how to do that, let me know. I would be very interested in that.
That was me last night.
Like, well, they've got me on steroids right now because of everything going on, and I'm just like, it's 4:30 a.m., and I'm sitting in bed vibrating, just like, because I can't go to sleep. I just exist.
Yeah. That's usually when I'll take out, like, a book that I know is going to put me to sleep, and I'll start reading that, and 10 minutes later, I'll be out.
Nice.
Yeah. So, 87 games a week, huh?
Basically. You want to talk about yours?
Sure. That's a good one out of the 87, I would think.
That's a good segue. I should probably do an intro quick. So what's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I'm your host, Joe. Cole, you're here. How are you doing?
I'm mad because I had a good segue I had a good segue for a
We're on the air. Watch your language, young lady.
Watch your fucking language.
And, like... All that effort to make a segue for a change when we always just like fumble our way through it and then you just threw it away so we could tell people that I was here like they didn't already know.
I have to do the intro or else people don't know they're listening to the show.
Yeah.
It's not like they click on YouTube.
You have to do the intro and then you got to bring it up a few times during the show to just remind people.
Exactly.
Like, comment, and subscribe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Share with your friends.
I am not good at this podcasting thing.
Neither am I. It's only been 5 years.
You want to tell people who's here with us since, you know, we've done all this?
Yes, Eitan of Fire Hose Games, how are you doing today?
Hi, guys. I'm doing great. I'm so glad to be on the show with you.
So what are you here to talk about?
I'm going to tell you about our new game, 20XX, that just came out on everything yesterday and today. It came out on the Switch, it came out on the PS4, and on the Xbox One. So, sorry, Ouya fans.
Son of a bitch.
I know.
Engage fans are left out too, Tiger R-Zone fans.
We have, like, this glass case in our office with lots of, like, old consoles, and the Ouya's, like, up top on it, on this, like, little pedestal, and it looks like this Indiana Jones, like, holy relic sort of thing. Look at this thing that we wished wasn't so disappointing.
Tell the generations of the future, listen, kids, this is called an Ouya.
There was a time when we had a dream. So 20XX just came out on all the consoles, and I'd love to tell you about it.
For the people who don't know what the game is, give us the sales pitch, give us the rundown. What is 20XX?
Absolutely. So 20XX is a roguelike action platformer that is heavily inspired by the Mega Man series, in particular the Mega Man X series, and it has full co-op, so you can play it with your friends. So if you are someone who liked the old school Mega Man games, if you're someone who likes difficult action platformers, if you're someone who likes roguelikes, this is the game for you. We took an old classic formula, we turned it on its head, we reinvented it, and added a lot of fun new mechanics, and it's doing great. People seem to love it online.
Yeah, it's been on Steam for how long now?
So, it's been on Steam for a while. So, we went early access with Steam with this in, I want to say like the very end of 2014. And when we started with it on Steam, it was going to be a very small game. And people started buying it and really getting into it. And rather than just stopping development, we started making just enough money to pay ourselves a salary. And so we kept pumping it in development and making the game bigger and better and fancier. And fast forward to 3 years later, the game is huge and it finally comes out. And this is the end of 2017. And people love it. They're saying, you know, it's what Mighty No. 9 should have been. It's the spiritual successor to Mega Man. And people are into it so much that we keep making content for it because, you know, when you're kind of on a roll, that's what you keep doing. Mm-hmm. And we also decided that it's a console game at heart. You know, like this is a game that people expect to be playing with a controller on their TV, with a friend on the couch or a friend online. And we wanted to give them that experience. So we finally, after months and months and months, have brought it to consoles.
Hooray!
Yeah, it took a while. Boy, you know, I don't know if you talk to a lot of developers, but there's two ways to make games. You can take a game engine, as it's called, and use that to make a game, and it kind of has everything out of the box that you need to make the game. Or you can be an idiot, and you can make the game engine itself, which is a really stupid fucking thing to do. I do not recommend that any listener makes their own game engine. And somehow we forgot that, and we made our own game engine. And boy, with that, reporting it, difficult. But we did it, finally.
So you went the stupid fucking route.
Yeah, you know, it didn't seem stupid at the beginning. It's well, around half of the way through, it was apparent that it was stupid. But at that point, it's too late to change.
So the question is, though, did it pay off?
Making our own engine?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Honestly, God, if Chris is listening, he's going to get mad at me. I don't think so. He'll disagree. If Chris was on here, he's the lead developer, he would say, yeah, absolutely. I'm not so sure. A matter open for debate whether or not it was the right move making our own engine. But it's done, so hey.
And now you have it for future generations, along with the Ouya.
Yeah. I know. We have this. Well, so now it's very good at being, you know, it's good at being an engine for this game. But if we wanted to go and make it anything different or make a sequel, God forbid, then we would have to add in all this new stuff, at which point it might just be easier to use something else anyway.
Are you guys even thinking sequel right now, or are you just happy to get through the console launch?
Yeah, we just got the game out. Right now we're thinking more content for this game. But like, you know, whenever you release a game, you kind of have this notion of maybe we'll want to make a sequel at some point in the future in the back of your head. But it usually doesn't happen, you know? Like, there has to be a really good reason to make a sequel. And right now we don't have any plans for that.
Gotcha.
I know that there are a lot of game developers who do not follow that rule, that it has to be a good reason to make a sequel.
Okay, so let me rephrase it. There has to be a financial reason to make a sequel, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so even if you don't think there's a good reason, let's say that you're, you know, what's a crap developer? Even if you're EA, right? If you're EA, they may not think there's a good reason, but you'd better be damn sure they're looking at the spreadsheet numbers and saying, is this thing going to make us money, right? And I think a lot of times indie games don't really make money on sequels. It's kind of tough to follow up indie games with a sequel. So it could happen, but who knows? Look at FTL, right? You guys play FTL, I'm sure, right?
No.
Oh, man. Okay. Anyway.
Well, I'm not much of a Steam gamer, so that's my excuse.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. It was just the first one that popped into my head. It was a very popular Steam game that sold a ton of copies. And they made it wasn't exactly a sequel, but it was kind of like a different game called Into the Breach. And that game didn't do super well. And I think there's a lot of indie games like that where they try to make sequels and it just doesn't work. But then I guess there are plenty of other examples like the Banner Saga series that, you know, they keep churning those out. So it can work.
It could be like The Calling where they just abandoned the first game and then cranked out a second one.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to do that. 20XX has enough fans that I would feel pretty awkward about that, but I hear you.
Well, it's been over 3 years. I don't think you could call it abandoning the game if you moved on now.
And, you know, Rocket League did that, right? Like, Rocket League is a sequel, even if nobody realizes it.
True.
Yeah. What the hell was the first one called? Supersonic
Acrobatic Cars or something.
That's the funny thing is it had like Rocket League's anniversary, and they've got the name plastered everywhere, and I play it every day, and I still don't know the name of the first game.
Yeah, you know, Street Fighter 2 was a sequel. There was a game called Street Fighter, right?
And it was awful.
Yeah, it really was. I played it once just to see, and yeah, I understand. I can't believe why they made a sequel, but it was a different time back then.
And it paid off for him.
Yeah, it really did. It really did.
So you were talking about more content for 20XX, and I'm curious because I've played it, and I'm sitting here looking at thinking, what the fuck else can you add to this game?
We can give you more playable characters. That's what we can do, and that's what we are doing. So have you beaten the game yet?
I got to level 8 on normal.
Nice.
For the record, because everybody fusses at me because I play everything on Super Pussy Crybaby mode. And I got to level 8 on normal, and those stupid, stupid laser beams get me every time.
Do you have Force Nova, the weapon Force Nova? It makes a big shockwave around you?
You're going to tell me that protects me from the laser beams, and I'm going to cry.
Oh, better than that. It'll knock them out straight up so they don't exist anymore.
Oh, ooh. For fuck's sake.
Every single boss weapon in the game has a secondary in-level use. It has something that it can do in-level that no other weapon can do. And Force Nova will knock out the lasers.
I've been playing on self-imposed hard mode.
Yeah. Oh, it gets even better. I don't know if you got the Quint laser weapon, which makes that huge giant square bullet.
Yeah.
You can knock over vending machines with that.
What?
Yeah, you can knock the vending machine over and it breaks and all the stuff spills out and you can just take it for free.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I'm glad you told me all this before I do my review.
Yeah. So anyway, so there's two playable characters in the game, right? You can play either as Nina, and she's kind of your more traditional. She shoots out these little lemons and then she can shoot out a bigger shot with her blaster. And then there's Ace, and he's got this sword, and he can charge that up, and so he's kind of a melee fighter. So those are your two default characters. If you beat the game on any setting, I think this even counts with Boss Rush, then you unlock Hawk, and she's a different character. She has a whip, kind of like a, you know, Simon Belmont sort of character.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and she has different properties than the other two. She can actually drain energy from enemies, so she's built to use boss weapons. And her melee attacks are not super strong, but that's okay because she's meant to use boss weapons. And then there's a fourth character that we actually just released on Steam called Draco. And he is a super primary weapon attacker where he can have either Ace's or Nina's weapons in addition to his whole set, but he can only have one boss power at a time. And all of his weapons are special weapons that let him do things that move around in interesting ways. So he can do like a Shoryuken uppercut, or he can do like an M. Bison forward dash, because I'm just going to reference Street Fighter 2 all day. And so he can kind of get around with that. And so that character is coming to console, although he's not in yet. And we'll have him in soon. And console players are just going to get him for free because we're going to patch the game and support it.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, we love our players.
Aww.
Not enough to make the game easy.
I was about to say, not enough to make it easy, because if you play it on easy mode, it actually disables the achievements on Xbox. I'm assuming it probably does on PlayStation 2, but who plays PlayStation?
Like 70 million people play PlayStation.
Joe, I don't like your facts.
Well, you still can unlock Hawk even on it's not easy, it's Revenant mode. You just get three lives instead of one.
Yeah.
And I think a few things we actually did make easier than the series that we're inspired by. Some things used to kill you, like touching spikes or falling in pits. That was just insta-death. You'd be dead, right? In 20XX, if you touch those things, you just lose a hit point and you're right back in the game. So, you know, we don't punish you as much as the game used to. It's a lot more fair, I think.
That was something I figured out very quickly. Like, I was very panicky because I remember playing Mega Man as a kid. I haven't played it since they've like remastered it and brought it to Xbox and stuff. But I remember playing as a kid and I remember just being deathly afraid of spikes.
Oh yeah.
And anything that hits you is just dead.
Right.
And so the first time I hit the spikes, I went, because this thing's a roguelite and I don't want to die.
Yep. No, we don't have, there's no insta-kill anything in 20XX. That was one of the things that we decided we wanted to take out. It was one of the weaker mechanics in Mega Man, I felt. Mega Man used it as a crutch, honestly. And I love that series. But it insta-kill just always felt like bullshit. If you touch a spike, if you fall in the thing, it just instantly killed you. And that was lame. Like, why can't I keep playing? You know?
I can understand pits being sudden death, but yeah, spikes shouldn't be.
And honestly, pits are really only sudden death because that's just been the mechanic forever, right? Like Mario started it and then everyone kind of followed it. But nowadays we are in an enlightened age of gaming and generally speaking, we don't have to kill people instantly. But Zelda was one of the first people that got it right, right? You know, the Super Nintendo Zelda. Man, I'm just going to reference Super Nintendo games all day. Link would fall in a pit.
Hey, it works for me.
Right. He would just fall in a pit and he would respawn where he fell off, just missing a heart. And that was a great way to handle it. It felt much better.
It really was.
One of the things that I appreciate that the pits aren't instant death, and again, because this is a roguelite, and so dying is starting all over from scratch. But there's some instances on some levels where you can drop down and there's hidden things. And because it's procedurally generated, it's not the same every time.
Right.
And so there were times where I was like, that's an awfully big area out there. Where I can't see shit, am I going to risk a health bar to jump and maybe find something good?
Or damn right you do.
Start over. You do, but if you died instantly every time you fell in a pit, you wouldn't do that shit, and then you would miss out on so much.
So one thing I can tell you is, it's procedurally generated, so I can't say this with 100% confidence, but 99 times out of 100, when there is something that's hidden down a pit or something, there should be some sort of like clue or hint or something, like something kind of off the screen, or if you move down, the camera follows you down. So you should get a hint that there's something down there. Not always, but
I've almost. Still made some leaps of faith just because.
Well, sometimes
I like to be an assassin.
Well, one of my favorite things to do in 20XX, I mean, I'm a developer, so I play the game all the time. And a lot of times if I'm high up on a platform, I will just take a leap of faith as fast and high as I can to the right and try to worry about landing when I get to the ground.
Yep. I've done it.
Yep.
I've just been like, fuck it, let's go, let's see where we go.
Yeah, and it works like half of the time.
It's funny because sometimes there are portals which will warp you to another portal.
Yep.
And like, you'll take one of those big ass leaps of faith and you'll trigger a sequence of portals. And then you're just like, I have no clue where I'm at now, but whatever, let's go.
Yeah, generally speaking, if you keep going right, you'll be in good shape.
I had a good situation earlier when I took a leap of faith, and I was just about to land on a platform, but there was a portal there, and it warped me into nothingness. I was like, you son of a bitch game.
Yeah. Hilarious.
So, you're a dick, thank you for that.
Yeah, no problem. Did you two play together? Did you play single player?
I played single player, and it was funny because I was like, boy, I need to try out the multiplayer. And I was like, but I don't know if anybody else. I didn't think Joe had it. I guess he bought it.
I bought it last night. I want a big shout out to the PR company who sent us a single review code for a two-person interview.
Why didn't you just, I would have gotten, I apologize. I would have gotten you another one. I didn't realize.
Hey, I'm glad I just got to buy the game.
Yeah. I was just like, I hoarded the code. I know Joe doesn't have it, so I'm just going to do this by myself.
Well, I appreciate it. I'll take that money and buy myself a beer with it. Keep me developing for another day.
It's always worth it to support when, you know, a game is good. And this one, I haven't done my official review yet.
Okay.
But this game is good, and it's definitely worth supporting. So Joe did good by buying it.
Thanks.
I did.
And then I'm going to make you play it with me so that I can finally beat the fucking level 8.
Come on. I only got to level 4. You're fucked if you're teaming up with me.
So I'm carrying you.
Yes. I've only had it for like 12 hours so far, so you got to give me a break.
It's also an open question in my mind as to whether it's easier or harder in multiplayer. Because, like, in multiplayer, you can revive your teammate, and there's two of you, so, you know, you can shoot people more. But on the downside, there's two of you. You need to coordinate that, and boy, it depends on the players, I think, whether or not it's easier.
Oh, there's going to be a lot of cursing going on. I could tell already.
Yeah.
I mean, God damn it, Cole. Anyway, so it's normal.
With your southern drawl.
Yeah. God damn it, Joe. When I say, God damn it.
See, we were talking earlier about you being a New Yorker. I want to know what a New York southern accent sounds like.
I have to say New Yorker. Upstate New York is where I'm from, not New York City. And upstate New York is an entirely different animal than New York City. And if anything, the upstate New York accent, and anyone who hears me from my hometown will be upset with me. But if anything, it's closer to Canadian. That's what we're next to.
I can kind of hear that. Yeah.
Well, but I'm your neighbor down south in Pennsylvania, so howdy.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Everybody just makes fun of how I say long I sound. What time is it? 5?
Get the snapper.
Oh, yeah, don't play the division with me, because there's snappers on the roof. Everybody has a field day. That's been 3 or 4 years, and you fuckers don't let me live that down.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, it is. And then there was...
Or tire. Or, tire's a good one.
Yeah, I say tar. And when I was playing Rainbow Six Siege, and I was telling people they were in the winders.
Winders. Nope. I don't think I've heard that one yet.
That's like a Queens accent, though. Putting R at the end of words that don't have it.
Right next to it.
I got an
we
idea.
We also say, like, warsh. Okay. This is a warshing machine.
Warshing, yeah. Yep.
I'm just laughing over here. I love when we get into your accent, Cole. It always brightens
it
up my day.
It happens, like, every show. At this point, we're no longer a gaming podcast. We're a Let's Talk About Cole's Accidents and Accent podcast.
That's a good episode title, Accidents and Accents.
Yeah, boy.
Man, so, hear the dogs going. Uh-oh.
That's the first time they've been picked up on the new mic.
Hooray, the mic works.
It's because UPS is delivering my knee brace.
Oh, it's here.
It's here.
Hooray.
Do an unboxing live on the show without your camera.
No, then I have to go, like, open the door and go get it.
And then we get to hear you cursing while you figure out which way it goes
on. How do I use it? What's it be like too small because I'm fat?
Or like they sent you an elbow brace instead of a knee brace or something.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Well, you jinxed it. That's what's happening now.
I knew there was, because there's something weird about it, because the one I bought was like $10 cheaper than the other one that was right beside of it that was the exact same thing. So I'm a little alarmed by it anyway. I'm a little concerned. It's either going to be like child-sized, or it's going to be like for your toe.
Oh, God. Win-win either way in my eyes.
If I ever break my toe, I'd already be set.
So we should probably talk about the game more, huh? We're getting severely off topic. What made you guys go with the roguelite style instead of handcrafted levels? That's what I've been meaning to ask.
Oh, yeah. That's a great question. We wanted to update it to something that felt a little bit more modern, and we're huge roguelike fans. We love the sense of, like, I want to give it one more play. One of my favorite mechanics from roguelikes is I love it when there's a million items and you just don't get them all, and you have to kind of work with what you get. Mm-hmm. You have to make decisions about what you're going to try to do this run because of the items that you got. I think it's really fun. It's frustrating, right? Because you always think to yourself, oh, I want that one more thing. But the truth of the matter is, despite being frustrating, it's still more fun than it would be if you just got everything.
Yeah.
And then we just wanted endless Mega Man. That was initially part of the thing that we were talking about. What if it went on forever? And in 20XX, there's actually an endless mode where you can just keep going for as long as you want until you finally lose. And by the way, you will finally lose because we make it much harder when you're on level 38. But we just thought that would be like a fun way to kind of update Mega Man mechanics and to do some new things. That was a big part of the game. We were kind of looking at the classic series and saying, which mechanics do we think would be fun to update and how would we change them to make them more interesting for a modern audience? That's a big reason that we put in co-op too, because we felt that it would be a lot more fun if you could play this with a friend.
You mentioned endless mode. What's the furthest you guys have gotten?
Oh, geez. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know how far other people have gotten. I have never, I've never really tried. I've gotten to level 20 something, and then I said, okay, good enough. It seems to not be crashing. Geez, I wonder how far. We have a few, super fans. I want to say some of them have gotten to level 50 at least.
Wow.
Well, there's, some item combinations you can get that are really good. And when you're playing on Endless, you have plenty of time to get them. There's one item that, there's a few things that I know break the game. So there's, one item that will give you an extra, 10 or 20%. So nuts are the currency in the game. Haha. So nuts are the currency in the game. And there's an item that you can get that'll give you an extra 10 or 20% nuts based on what you already have for the next level. So if you have 10 nuts, then at the end of the level, the next level, you have 12, right? Mm-hmm. So if you get a few of those and you have a bunch of nuts, you'll basically have infinite nuts for the rest of your endless run, you know? And there's a few other things you can do with that where you can become very powerful. But we just start scaling enemy difficulty and stuff like that. So the enemies start hitting pretty hard when you get in very high levels.
Nice. I love all the nut jokes in the game as well, like the nut stack.
Yeah, we're 8-year-old boys. That's at heart, we are really. And by the way, if you ever want to have a nightmare localizing a game and translating it into other languages, go with nut stack and see how that goes.
Tell us, how did that go?
Poorly. There's a lot of references and in jokes and stuff like that in the game, because we just, that's the sort of thing that we like to do. So we'll one of the weapons is called the Quint Laser, which is a reference to Aqua Teen Hunger Force, where they have the quad laser, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that any reference to a TV show or a movie or another video game really doesn't translate well, because nobody knows what you're talking about. So yeah. That was exciting. Apparently Polish doesn't handle that.
Oh, God. How many languages did you get the game translated to?
9, I want to say. Yeah, 9.
Damn.
And I'm sure that there are a few questionable translations in there.
So what does Nutstack translate to in other languages?
I would have to look that up and tell you. Probably something benign is my guess, versus probably other things that are really weird.
Am I remembering right? Was it originally a sack of nuts, like a nut sack originally?
No, it was always the nut stack.
It was
stack. That's too lowbrow for us, Joe. nut sack, please. We've always been nut stack. That's the level of humor you can expect.
It's been a couple years. I thought at the beginning it was still nut sack.
No. Always been. We're very classy when it comes to our
highbrow dick jokes.
Yeah, highbrow toilet humor. Yep.
So, Cole, what other questions do you have, since you spent significantly more time with the game than I did?
One of my questions, I was curious if there was any particular reason for going with Nina as a character, especially given how the game is so focused on its references to Mega Man and its influence from Mega Man. What prompted you guys to go with Nina as a female character?
That's
a tough one.
Yeah, so I will say, I'm not, so Nina as the main character, so Chris put her in that. And that was actually before I joined. I joined the team probably around 6 months into development. And so I never really thought too much about it. Mm-hmm. I always just thought that, like, we wanted to do something a little bit different, and we thought it would be fun to make the main character female. We're huge, and me in particular, I am a huge Metroid fan. I speedrun Super Metroid. That's something that I do just for fun. And I've actually given talks at conferences where I will give a talk while speedrunning Super Metroid. So I had a cat named Samus. So
that is awesome.
Right. Is- so in my mind, it was always kind of like a shout out to that, you know. But I actually don't know the original reason why Nina went in there instead of a boy. But I like it personally.
I thought it was really awesome.
Yeah, and we don't, like, get into it, you know? That's just how it is. I like it when main characters are, you know, different. There's some sort of different group, and the fact that they're a different group doesn't matter. It doesn't always have to be a dude.
I like that there's not really any major explanation. Like, sometimes ambiguous is best. It's just she's there because she is.
Yeah, right.
So I was curious, like,
initially was, like, a really, like, sketchy, weird robot. And, like, we toned it back a little bit with him. So he's still, like, in the lore, most of his body is, like, cybernetics. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really come into play in the game because you can't really tell because we changed his character model a lot. But initially, he was, like, had this really creepy, like, what the hell is that movie, that, like, South African movie with Chappie, with the robot police officer?
Maybe it's just called Chappie, isn't it?
Might be it. Yeah, so Ace kind of looked like that, and it was, like, weird, and we dialed it back, and now he's, like, a person. He just has a lot of, like, implants. So.
The levels have times, but you're not tied to the time. If you complete the time, then you get a special reward. Mm-hmm. Who set those kind of times? And, like, how do you guys go, yeah, that's about a good run, or do you go, you know, it needs extra, a little extra length for people who suck.
No, the times are actually procedural. So,
really?
Yeah, so there's an algorithm. So each level loads at the beginning of the level, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening during that loading, we're not just loading in the different art assets. It's also running the algorithm to decide, hey, what's this level going to look like? Where the bad guy is going to be? How is this thing going to be placed? It's kind of building the whole level.
Mm-hmm.
And when it builds the level, it decides how long that timer should be. And it's actually pretty straightforward how we do it. We just look at each individual component, and we have, like, a little amount of time that we assign to that. And then we just do, like, a little multiplier in the whole thing. And that's roughly how long we think it should be for you to get the bonus if you finish the level in that time. Make sense?
That's pretty impressive, because I was like, normally when there's a time for anything, I can't speedrun to save my life. And normally when there's a time, I'm just like, oh, God, fuck off. And I'm never going to get that reward. But I was successfully getting the reward, I'd say maybe 6 out of every 7 attempts.
It's not, the timer's not too bad. It's a way to, like, motivate people to keep going in our mind. But honestly, if you were to skip it, it's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
The prize you get at the end, it's not like a huge prize for getting the timer. It's just like a normal one. So if there was something interesting you wanted to explore, skipping the timer for that is not unreasonable.
Although there were a few times where the prize saved my ass.
Oh, well, yeah, it's roguelike.
And you're just like, I needed that +3.
Yep.
That extra health always helps.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, like, you know, if you're listening at home, we don't heal you. In 20XX, you don't heal between levels. So you beat a level and you don't start the next level with full health. So you kind of, you get a little bit of health at the end of the level, and what you get really matters.
Those lasers, though.
Yep.
Oh, it's fucking laser.
Yeah, try Force Nova on them. There's a lot of things in the game that you can. So another one that might bother you, you know those fireballs in the fire levels, the spewers that shoot fireballs at you?
Yeah.
Try blasting them with the ice weapon and see what happens.
Oh, for the love of it.
Yeah, there's all sorts of neat stuff in the game. Yeah.
It was funny because I had done some research, because you guys were on Steam for a while. And so I was, like, trying to poke around and find out any kind of tips. Because that's what you do with a roguelite, is you try to minimize your deaths.
Right.
And I was, like, poking around for some tips, but everything was fairly ambiguous. And it was like, oh, different weapons are better on different bosses. And I was like, well, after I unlocked where it randomly gives you a power up in the beginning. And I kept getting the starburst, which makes Nina shoot four different directions all at once.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of like,
shots are weaker. I actually don't care for starburst because, even though you shoot four times as many shots, they're kind of weaker and they're really only good in my mind when you're getting swarmed. I like the really strong forward facing attacks because I want to hit the thing right in front of me.
That starburst is what, like, I was running through shit going, I'm OP!
Yeah. Yep. Well, it's really helpful when you have a boss that's like above you and you don't want to like have to run around. You can just shoot underneath them. So. Yep.
There's a few bosses who, I think the only one that didn't particularly benefit from it. There's another shot where she shoots like three and you know, two at an angle and one straight.
Right. Where she shoots that one straight in front of her and 45 degrees up and 45 degrees down.
Yeah. That one's a little better for one particular boss, but for the others, I was thinking
about the giant Doomface guy on the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just fought him earlier. That was a fun battle.
Yeah, because everyone's like, oh, look, it's another boss battle. And then we threw a Contra boss where you have an entire wall covered up by a giant face that's yelling at you and shooting balls, flaming balls at you. So that was a fun one.
That just sounds like a Tuesday to me.
Yeah.
Me too, Doomface. Flaming balls.
Yeah, yeah. Doomface was actually his internal name for a long time. I forget. I think Vile Visage is his actual in-game name, but he's always going to be Doomface in our hearts.
It's a good name. You should have went with that.
I know. I liked it. But Vile Visage has the nice, you know, VV thing that you want in these sorts of games.
What other names were left on the cutting room floor?
Oh, geez. Let's see. There were so many. All the bosses had stupid names. I'm trying to think of. Man, I don't know. Most of them were like simple though. The Gorilla Twins were just the gorillas. You know, I think they're Astral Twins or something like that in the game. I forget what there's like a vine boss on the wall, and I forget what we actually called it in the end in the game. But he was just the Lotus.
Lotus or something.
Death
like
Lotus,
that.
Okay, yeah. So some of the names stayed in. So
there was your game better than you do. What is this?
Oh, well, you can keep track of the names. We kept changing them. There was a spy boss that we had in the game for a long time, and then we wound up taking that out because, you haven't gotten to the final boss yet, but suffice it to say, Spider.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
It's not creepy, don't worry. It's just more like it's going to kick your ass.
I don't want to have my ass kicked. It's final a roguelite. I don't want to start over.
The last two bosses are not easy. So once you beat all eight bosses, then you get, you know, your end game levels, and those are not easy. So
I just await the day I make it to stage 5. That'll be fun for me.
You'll make it. Keep playing. No, you really will. Like, a little bit of practice, you'll get good at it.
I don't know. Roguelites aren't particularly Joe's strengths.
So. and then you can carry his sorry asshole.
Yes.
There's a reason that he gave me the review.
Because I'm lazy. That's the real answer. That's why you have so many games lately, because I'm lazy.
7,428 reviews later.
Also, I'm moving, so I don't have time.
Man.
Is that a joke about how I can't move because my leg is bum?
That's why you have all these reviews. I thought we covered this. Don't have to move to play a video game.
Did you open your brace yet?
No, it's in the living room. I'm not going to go get it.
I thought you'd have one of your kids bring it to you.
No, because then they'd open the door and then the dogs would bark because, oh my god, a door! It's like they forget I live here, and as soon as I open the door, they just all four lose their shit.
Oh my god, it's you! Oh my god, it's you! Oh my god, it's you!
Like, that shit happens when I'd be sitting in the living room at my desk, and I've just been quiet for a while, and then I say something, or I go, because I think of something, and then the dogs panic, like, oh my god, where did you come from? And I'm like, I've been here! I can't physically move from here!
What kind of dogs do you have?
I have 3 Dalmatians and an Australian Shepherd.
You have Dalmatians?
Yeah.
I grew up with Dalmatians.
I love them.
They are not friendly dogs.
No, they like one person and everybody else can fuck off.
I hated that fucking movie, 101 Dalmatians. Let me give you my beat with 101 Dalmatians. So I grew up with this son of a bitch Dalmatian. He was called Domino. Of course he was called Domino. And I would take him for a walk, and little kids would see him. And at the time, 101 Dalmatians was a bit of a newer movie, you know? Mm-hmm. And they would be very excited to go up to him and pet him. But he was a big dog, and he was nasty, so I would have to get him to sit. And then I would maybe even have to choke him a little bit to get him to be polite. And the kid would walk up, and they would get closer and realize he was a bigger dog. And then he would start growling because they would hesitate. And then before you know it, he starts barking at them. And then the kid goes off crying to their mom. And we have to, like, run away because we're going to get yelled at.
Scaring kids sounds fun.
Yeah, but he was great
for
us.
That is always the thing. Like, when my daughter has, you know, company over, and it's like, okay, well, all the dogs into the bedroom because I don't want to deal with this. Yeah. And you, like, you just settle them into the room and be like, have a good night, guys, because you don't get to go anywhere now.
Yep.
Because our oldest one is, he's 11, and he's just crotchety and old and cranky. His name is Dante. And, like, all he does is lay down and bitch. He literally just grumbles and groans his whole day away. And like, he's not particularly friendly. He's just not. The boys are younger. They're only a year and a half. And so they're more friendly and a little more tolerable. But Dante just wants everybody to fuck off.
Yeah.
And you have to plan for that when, like, you're having a sleepover and number one's got seven of her nearest and dearest teenage girlfriends coming over. And you're just like, Sorry, Dante.
Yep.
What kind of dog do you have?
Nowadays, I don't have a dog. My type of dog is a Maine Coon cat. That's the type of dog I have now.
Nice.
I have a Maine Coon cat, too.
Yeah, they're feline dogs is what they are. So. Mm.
Well, Gabriel's only half Maine Coon, but, like, his Maine Coon side. It's weird because I've never had a Maine Coon before, and I keep looking at him. And I go, you're so tiny. And then I realize that in about two more years, I'm going to be like, why are you so fucking fat?
Yeah, they're 20-pound cats.
Mm-hmm. They grow slow.
My wife wants a Maine Coon, but we can't deal with another cat.
A million cats. It's okay. I'll tell you what. You give me Predator, and then you can go get a Maine Coon.
Your cat's name is Predator.
Yes, one of them.
Predator needs to come live with me.
Does Predator live up to the name?
She's a fucking asshole. She really...
So, yes.
She is the most irritating cat we've ever had. When she was a kitten, she got really, really sick. And one of our friends told us to try giving her probiotic, like the probiotic you would give cows to help with their stomach. So we gave her some probiotic to try and help her out and get her feeling better. And it worked. She started feeling better. But we think she's addicted to probiotic because she hounds us constantly. She'll just run over and just meow, 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 meow. And you stand up and she runs over. She knows where it is. Yeah. So she will harass you constantly until you give her some, to the point where we put a water bottle by the probiotic. So when we walk over there with her, she now knows to hide under the table because she's not sure if she's going to get probiotic or if we're going to spray her for being fucking annoying.
It's tough being a cat sometimes.
She's magical, and yep. I don't think anyone would be able to tolerate her.
Yep.
I would totally tolerate her. I fuss all the time, like every show. I'm like, I'm gonna steal Predator. Predator's gonna come live with me. Clearly, I have a penchant for asshole pets anyway.
A week later, you'll be back. No, take her. I'm so sorry. This was a mistake.
The problem with asshole pets are that you frequently don't figure it out until, you know, it's a year or two in. Right. Then you're committed.
Yeah. Because they're adorable and you fall in love with them.
Right. They're your asshole pet.
Yes. One of many.
Yep. Yeah. I need to get a dog. I live in Boston now and you can't, it's not so easy to have a dog out here.
That is the best part about redneck land. I don't have any neighbors. Nobody gives a fuck that my dogs carry on.
My last cat got run over by a car. You don't have to worry about that when you're living out in redneck land. It's nice when there's no one around.
Like, yeah, I open the door and the dogs just go. And I'm like, you know, come back at some point.
Come back for dinner.
Dinner time is when they show back up.
Yep.
You know, but... It's very different than, like, when I was a kid and I lived... Even still when I was a kid, I lived in, like, a rural area, but it was closer to, there was at least blacktop on the road where I grew up. We live on a dirt road.
Pavement?
We have dirt. We live on a dirt road.
Boy.
Yeah. Like our town has a population of 42.
Oh my gosh. Redneck. Cool. I think you should run for mayor.
They won't let me because I live out of the city limits.
You could get a sash that would say mayor on it.
I think I would have been the best mayor of Redneck Land, given the fact that I'm like complete opposite of everybody.
Well, that's why they need you to lead them. Right? Your platform could be, we're going to get roads. It's going to be great. We're going to have roads everywhere.
I just like the idea of you having a sash that says mayor on it. You need a tiara
I have
as well.
A tiara. Yeah. There is literally a road here that's called Needmore. So when you write your address, if you live there, it's whatever your house number is, Needmore Road.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Well,
at least your town has a sense of humor.
Yeah. We have to.
Oh, my Lord.
We have to. When I was pregnant with number three, I remember checking Wikipedia for our town. It was for some kind of thing I was doing through the fire department. And I remember it was like, you know, population 41. And then just out of curiosity, I went back after number three was born. It was a couple months later and it said population 42.
Oh, man.
Someone's keeping it up to date.
Yeah. I was like, somebody, well, was like, because it's all old people here in Redneck Land, like genealogy is a really big thing. And so there's a lot of people that really keep tabs on that shit. But it was funny that somebody had updated the Wikipedia after I had number three.
That's pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
42 people. I feel like there's 42 people within 10 feet of me at all times here.
So you have more animals than there are people in your town.
I do. Yeah, because
there's more animals at her house farm than there are people in her town.
Yeah, I have more chickens alone. You don't even have to include the others; just the chickens.
My Lord,
there's more. Yeah.
Oh,
I miss
man.
Outdoors. I miss nature. Although I like video games, and we have lots of those here, so good and bad.
And video games are good. What games are you playing these days? What are you enjoying?
Oh, God. I play crap games. Let me tell you.
Same.
No, it's true. I, like, waste my time with stuff. All right, so what games have I been playing recently? I've been dicking around. I recently uninstalled. This is, by the way, when I uninstall a game, it means I really like it. I play a game to the point where I have to uninstall it because I'm wasting too much time with it and I got to do other stuff. So I recently uninstalled Slay the Spire after putting in 200 hours or however many hours on that. I like Dominion a lot, so I thought that was a super fun game. I actually wound up playing a game called Project High Rise, which, did you ever play Sim Tower back in the day?
Yes.
Yeah. So you know how Sim Tower was like fun but busted?
Yes.
It was like a good game, but it was like clearly broken. So like some people made a game called Project High Rise, which is just Sim Tower all over again. It is not busted. It's not quite as much fun because it loses some of the charm, but I played that a bunch. And like I have on my desk in front of me a Switch because I was testing 20XX and I have Breath of the Wild and I have been meaning, I beat the game and I've been meaning to go back and do it again and do it like right this time in my mind. And I've been thinking about trying hard mode and I haven't actually done that yet. So.
Well, perfect opportunity.
Bad games to play.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, right, like, the crap games are the ones that I wind up spending time on. You know, there's another game I'm thinking about getting, this House Flipper game. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I've heard of this, and I'm just waiting for it to come to console, because I would play the shit out of it.
I am very on the fence on this one. So I like how low-rent it is. Let me tell you, this game is a piece of shit. Like, everything about the game screams low-rent. You have a flashlight. It doesn't matter. You have a flashlight, and it doesn't behave the way a flashlight would, where it shines on surfaces. It just makes the middle of your screen be, like, white. And, like, there's no animation in the game. Like, nothing ever animates. You just have things moving around, and every single asset is something that they clearly just grabbed off the asset store. And yet, despite all of this, it seems to be strangely addictive. And I'm getting married in a few months, and my fiancé, she, like, kind of plays games a little bit to humor me. But I don't think she's, like, super into them. But I've decided that this House Flipper game is a game that she's going to play because I think she would like it. I think she would love the idea of like getting a house and ripping it all down and setting it all up and then flipping it and getting some money on that. So that's the other one I'm looking at.
Nice.
Yeah. How about you guys? What are you playing besides 20XX, which, by the way, just came out for console, Xbox, Switch, PS4? You should go buy it.
How much is it?
Oh, that's right. It's $17.99.
Got to get all the plugs in. Got to have that price there.
That's it. Right.
I am borderline.
It's whatever the hell the conversion is.
Yeah. I am borderline addicted to Rock Band. That has been my game for years now.
Dude, you know that we worked on those games, right?
Yeah, Rock Band Blitz I saw you guys worked on.
We didn't just work on Rock Band. We worked on the other Rock Band games, too. It's just that Blitz was the one where we did, like, half the game. But, like, we've worked on the other games also. We worked on Rock Band 4. We had one of the programmers here was one of the main guys on the first Rock Band.
That's really cool.
Yeah, we're, like, down the street from Harmonix.
So this is technically a Harmonix appearance.
Dude, I would say, so we have three people at Firehose that used to work at Harmonix, and pretty much all of us have worked on a Harmonix game at some point. And on top of that, I don't know, I could, like, let me think of some Harmonix stories I could tell you about. So in the original Guitar Hero, all of the locations in that game were places in Boston, like down the street from us. So all, like, the venues were just the local clubs and bars. And they had to, like, change it at the last second because they had to use, like, real names and stuff like that.
That's really
cool. So why doesn't 20XX have a rhythm mini game?
So as it turns out, Cole, nobody buys video game rhythm games anymore.
I do.
I know, yeah. But you're pretty much the only one. The rhythm game genre, like, market is really, really dead. And so that's why. But we love Harmonix. We did Dance Central, too. We worked with them on that.
That's really cool.
My kids are going to, like, freak out when I tell them that because they know I'm doing this interview, and they're huge Dance Central nerds. They love it.
Oh, man. I wish I could dig up the video. We have an early – so we did all the early prototyping and design for the original one of those, and I have a video somewhere of what it looked like 6 months in before we did all the other stuff. There's also a very humiliating video of me somewhere doing Crank That Soldier Boy.
Oh, God.
Somebody needed to dance it on camera, and nobody was willing to do it, so I was just like, I'll do it. It's not a big deal. And boy, do I regret that.
Now I want to see that video.
I have videos of my kids doing it.
Soldier Boy was the hot song at that time. That's what everyone was dancing. So, yeah.
Could we expect any 20XX music to show up in Rock Band?
Oh, man. Are they still making music for Rock Band?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I will talk to Harmonix. Maybe.
And Joe buys every bit of it.
I do. I am missing three songs in Rock Band.
Oh, they must love you. Yeah. Well, I will mention
they've been on the show 10 times. So,
oh, really?
So they like us enough.
Did you have on John Drake?
I had Drake on when he was still there. I had Pope when he was still there.
Yeah.
I had Nick Chester when he was still there. I had Josh Harrison when he was still there. I'm working on trying to get someone back on. Hopefully Nick Mudry will come back on. He's a cool dude.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, they're all of our friends. They're right here in Boston. They're down the street from us.
Yeah, good people. It's cool that they've been dealing with this show since episode 20, and we're creeping up on 400, so it's
Rock
it's cool
Band
that-
is an amazing game. I love Harmonix's games. I really mean that. I'm not just saying that because we're friends with them. I think that they're awesome games.
Well, if you have it on Xbox One, I will gladly play with you sometime.
Cool. I'm sure we do. I'd have to dig out the controller system problem and set them up. But yeah, those are fun. I'm wondering if I can even still do Expert. I bet I can.
I believe in you.
Yeah, I'm sure I'd be fine after 5 minutes. Cool. How about you? What are you playing besides 20XX?
I was trying to think of what I've played that I can actually mention because I'm under embargo for a lot of shit.
Oh, man.
I've been working on Ghost 1.0. That was one I've had this week. I recently did Nier Automata. Mm-hmm. I need to finish that, though. I didn't get to do the second and third playthroughs yet. What else have I done? I've got some... Is that embargoed? I don't know.
Okay, just 120 XX then.
Yeah. Well, that was actually what I was playing. Like, I played a couple of runs before we even started to do the interview, and I legit was looking at the clock and trying to figure out if I had enough time for one more run before I had to start lugging all my shit in here.
You can save it, you know, if you need to stop it.
Yeah. But what's the fun in that?
No, it's true. It's very disappointing when you stop playing a roguelike and come back to it later. It's never quite as good.
The crazy thing is, like, you come back and you're looking at your shit and you're like, what do I have? What is this?
What the hell was I doing? Where was I? I don't remember.
Yeah. Where am I? What game is this?
Yeah, no, that's exactly how it is with me too.
It's like waking up on an island and you're just like, what? But yeah, most of what I play, it's embargoed from week to week, and so
Rocket League and PUBG, playing.
I had one game of PUBG this week.
I told you that, like, I install uninstall games, and that's how you know that I like them a lot. Mm-hmm. Rocket League, I had to uninstall that shit. I was like, no more.
Rocket Kick.
Yeah,
they added the whole, like, it's their birthday event. They just did the summer event. And I don't know, I'm a collection whore. I gotta get all the shit that I possibly can and then trade it off. Yep. And then, I've been playing The Division again, which is fucking insane because I already have 2,700 hours in The Division and it's the last thing I need to be playing.
That's the game with the snipers on the roof, right?
Snipers on the roof. and in the windows and on the ground and everywhere.
Yeah.
But where they have the shields challenges, you can get the shields to unlock stuff in The Division 2. And obviously I plan to lose another 2,700 hours to that. So I might as well go ahead and get the shit.
Jesus.
To be prepared. So like when The Division 2 comes out, I'm gonna do I earn vacation time with these podcasts?
You live on a vacation air. You're in a farm in the middle of nowhere. That is vacation.
Cause I'm gonna be like, I don't know. I need about 6 months of not doing a review cause I'm only gonna play The Division.
You're gonna quit the show like everyone else when that game comes out, aren't you?
No. You're gonna have to purposely cut me out of the show because this is all I do with my life. You're just gonna be like, one day Joe's gonna ghost on me and be like, I don't know, no Eternal Rage. Who the fuck's that? I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be the day that I die,
girl.
Oh man. Well, I know we've been chatting for a while. Is there anything else that you wanted to bring up with the game that we didn't bring up since we kind of didn't talk about the game for most of the show?
The music. I want to talk about the music.
Let's hear it. What do you want to say? A little. I haven't played it as much as I want, and my wife was here talking with me.
We're so proud of the music, the soundtrack to that game. If you have a hunger for a nostalgia kind of trip, but a revamped version of that, we think we really hit the mark with the music in 20XX.
Is the soundtrack for sale anywhere?
On Steam you can buy it, not on console. Can you even buy soundtracks on console? You can also just listen to it online. If you go to the SoundCloud or YouTube, I'm sure you can just listen to it for free. But
Think a lot of console games put the soundtrack on Bandcamp and SoundCloud and things like that for
us. I know it's on SoundCloud. I don't know much about Bandcamp though.
Is it plebs or plebes or whatever we are? Peasants.
Console peasants, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. But so that was the other big thing. But no, that's it. I'm super glad that I got the chance to come on here. It's a really fun game. Co-op. Mega Man inspired gameplay, play with a friend, different every time. That's about it. It's great on console. This game is meant for console. If you have that old school retro gaming itch, this will scratch it.
And it really does. I've been having so much fun with the game. I'm thrilled that it's on console, and I'm excited that you were able to come on the show and chat with us.
Yeah, thanks. I will have to come on the next time that Rock Band 5 comes out.
Yeah. Well, get to work on it. Just call up Harmonix and be like, hey, let's make this happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. All right, well, thanks so much for having me on the show, guys.
Thanks for coming
on. Putting up with us.
Do you have any final words before we take a quick break?
Oh, any final words?
Yeah.
you can take my console, but you can never take my freedom. I don't know. What's like a good... Maybe that's it. I have no idea.
I said, no, I'm not going to start this part of the show with anal fisting, but I just did, because welcome back, everyone. Thanks for sticking around. Cole, how are you doing?
That was a pretty good segue, by the way. I'm all right.
I do what I can.
Not as good as the one that I had that you fucked up, but it's fine.
Well, I needed to do an intro. It might be like 8 minutes into the show, but I needed to do an intro. By the way, I am keeping pretty much all of that interview. So if anyone listens, that's basically the beginning of the call from that interview from earlier, which that was a fun interview. I had a lot of fun.
It really was.
Aiden was awesome.
I know we're supposed to talk about the game, but sometimes just letting shit go can be amusing in its own right.
Mm-hmm. Those are my favorite kinds of interviews, where shit just goes off the wall.
You get a chance to talk about the game, sure, but you get a chance to actually get to know the people behind the games.
And the people behind asking people about the games.
Yes. Which is us.
We have learned about your knee injury for the past month, I think. Every episode we talk about it comes up.
I injured my knee. It's a thing.
We talked about that earlier. Listen to the beginning of the show if you didn't hear that part. I don't know why you wouldn't listen to the beginning, but start here.
The interviews are the good part. What are you listening to us for?
Like, we're just going to do news and reviews right now, so this is the boring shit of the show. Which, by the way, we should probably dive into it. I know that we're probably going to have a longer show. We've been doing some shorter ones lately. We've had a few hovering around, like, the hour 15 mark lately, so we're going back into two-hour territory with this one.
So we're here for the long haul?
Yep.
I should have brought another can of pop.
Buckle in, buckaroo. We're getting going because news. Let's see. What kind of news was there this week? Two games were added to the Xbox backward compatible list with Overlord and Overlord 2. So two good additions.
I have no idea what those are.
They're like M-rated Pikmin games.
What's Pikmin?
GameCube series or a Nintendo series started on GameCube.
Okay.
They're good. They're fun.
Okay.
You control minions. It's like a mix of hack and slash and minion control.
Minions. Okay, I'm down for that. Not like the little yeller minions from like yeller. Despicable Me, but actual minions.
Yes, they are not like old
little
yeller.
Minions of darkness.
Correct. Yes. Evil demonic minions that do your bidding.
Those are the best kind.
Best of all, both games are only $10 each, digital.
Digital.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say at GameStop after they bumped the price up 3 times.
No, I didn't even bother checking their prices because they were only $10 digital, and I figured I'd rather do that and grab them.
Dude,
that
do
way.
You have every backward compatible game at this point?
No, I do not.
Are you missing like 2?
I am. Let's see. Do you really want me to count? Because I do have a list.
Oh my God, you have a list.
Yes. Here are the ones that I do not own. I do not own Babel Rising, and I never will because it's not for sale. The 4 Cabela games I don't own. The 360 version of Costume Quest 2, Counter-Strike Go, Disney's Bolt, Fret Nice, Frogger 2, Lego Batman, Lego Indiana Jones, because I've 1,000 both of those. Magic 2014, Peggle 2, Sensible World of Soccer, Slender the Arrival, and Virtual On, which is Japanese only.
You don't have Peggle 2?
I don't have the 360 version of it.
Why?
Because I have the Xbox One version of it.
So
I didn't buy the other. If it goes on sale, I might grab it.
I actually completed Peggle and Peggle 2. And then I completed Peggle 2 on the 360 and on the 1. And apparently there was some kind of cheese people used to complete it on the 1, which is horseshit. I did that shit legitimately on both the 360 and the 1.
What kind of cheese is there to beat Peggle?
It had something to do with the challenges where Shiz explained it, but I didn't even pay attention because I was like, I'm not going to use that. I know how to beat this shit. So, like, there are a few games that are genuinely difficult that I can comfortably go, fuck y'all, I'm a bitch at that. And Peggle is my jam. I can Peggle the day away. So
Peggle,
like,
is to you what Tetris is to me.
Basically, yeah.
Nice.
Like, it doesn't matter what kind of mood I'm in, I can load up Peggle and I'm blowing through that shit.
But yeah, those are the 360 games that I don't own for backward compatible.
That's not very many, to be fair.
No, it's not very many.
But I also have some that you don't.
Like what? Which ones do you have?
I have the Cabela games.
Shocking. Shocking, yeah. That you own the Cabela stuff.
Imagine that.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, I have a list of the games I don't own yet. I have a list of the games I don't own digital that I have on disc. And then I have I forgot the original Xbox games that I don't have. Destroy All Humans, Grabbed by the Ghoulies, MX Unleashed, Panzer Elite Action, which I would have to import from Europe for that one. Red Faction 2, and then 3 of the Star Wars games.
So 8 games. I don't think I have any original, because we had an original Xbox for a week and David decided that he hated it and he sold it on eBay before I even had a chance to like touch it. So he just did not like it and there was just nothing I could do about it.
Oh well, what are you gonna do? There's a plane flying overhead. Okay, I was gonna say, are you still there?
Yeah, I was listening to the plane.
I don't know if my mic's even picking that up or not, but...
Oh, yeah. I heard it.
Let's see. What other news is there? 3 games were added to Game Pass this week with Bomber Crew and Vermintide 2, which we already covered. And then Rocket League got added to Game Pass.
That was kind of a shock. And I'm thrilled about it because I play a fuck ton of Rocket League. And then my first thought was... Oh, yeah, there's going to be noobs, people who haven't played it. We're going to demolish them. And then I sat and I thought, son of a bitch, even in casual, that game's like keeps people in your skill set. And I will probably never get to see the noobs.
you got to make a Smurf account and be one of those people.
I don't want to be one of those people. I've had people like accuse me of that, though, because I have it set to not show that I'm a fucking Rocketeer.
Why do you have that turned off?
Because people will see you, like, even in casual, they'll see your level, and if it's a lot higher than them, they'll just quit.
Mm.
So, like, they'll just quit out if you're a Rocketeer. Fuck that. So I've had mine hidden since I hit Master Rank, and people started dropping like flies. And so then me and Studa hit our ranks at that point, and we've never turned it back on. Because people will just, they'll just quit. They'll see who you are or whatever, and they're like, no, fuck that, I'm not even. So, yeah, bye.
There's some more.
People once you start beating them. Go ahead. Yeah. Sorry.
I was going to say there's more Rocket League news that came out, and that later on this summer they announced there will be cross-party support between Xbox, PC, and the Switch with the whole Rocket ID system that they're going to be putting out.
Yes.
What do you think of that?
This is also good. I'm glad to see crossplay stuff and see it supported. We've been able to play against PC players for a long time, and it's humorous because they think they're better than everybody, and then you beat them and they realize you're on console, and then they get so mad.
Yeah, but now you can party up with PC people, or you'll be able
to. That's even better, because I have some friends who only have the game on PC, and I've not got to play with them because it's too difficult to party up. So that would be nice.
Yeah, when the Rocket ID system hit, whenever that launches.
I'm curious to see. I figured it had to be a thing when they started talking about the Rocket Pass, because that's basically the only way to keep all that shit straight. But
no.
I'm curious to see how it affects the game overall, because I don't want to start hating it.
Yeah.
Please don't make me hate Rocket League. It's my favorite middle of the night game. Like, I can get my ass kicked like hell on PUBG. Even when you're good at shooters, there's just days where on PUBG you're going to be 48, and that's just all there is to it. And so, like, those kind of days are the days when it's best to just lay back and put on Rocket League, put on some music, listen to 80s, and just blow cars up. And I don't want to lose that. That's my nights.
Nice. Let's see. What else? They announced 5 games are going to be leaving Game Pass at the end of the month, with Dirt Rally, Overcooked, Pharaonic, So Many Me, and Ultratron all leaving. So that's a bummer.
Overcooked only just went in, though, didn't it?
I know. It feels like they added it just so people would play it before the sequel comes out in August.
Which isn't a bad idea, but
it's still a bummer to only be in there.
Yeah. It seems like you'd want to keep it in there over the course of August, just to, you know, maybe people will see it and go, oh, there's a sequel out. Maybe I'll try the first. Maybe I'll buy them both. I don't know the law. Unless maybe.
Maybe they're worried about why bother with the sequel when I can play the first one as part of Game Pass.
Yeah, but the sequel has online multiplayer. That's why.
Yeah, not everyone cares about that, though.
Yeah, everyone else sucks.
Some people would just prefer the free one.
I have been anxious for Overcooked 2 ever since they announced that there's online multiplayer, because I have friends online I want to play with. And I don't like to play with the people in my house because they're bad at games.
Oh, boy. Let's see. The Sims 4 is now part of EA Access, so that's pretty cool.
That is good. I wonder, that should mean then, if you have EA Access, you'll get a discount on the Sims DLC.
I think so. It'll be like 10% off, and there's so much DLC that you'd have to waste
so
money
many.
On.
I wouldn't consider it a waste. It's worth it.
Okay, it's worth it to you. To me, it's not really
it's
worth it.
It's worth it to me.
It's just stuff.
A Sims junkie. Yeah. I think, though, it's a bigger deal on console than on PC, because on PC, I never gave a shit about the stuff, specifically those stuff packs, but it's like, whatever, I can go find free sites and download free shit all day long, or make my own. I learned how to make my own, but you can't do that on console. It's just, you're stuck with what's there, so you might as well pay for some extra.
Yeah.
If you play it a whole lot, you get a little tired of looking at the same.
Yeah. Origin Access as well has gotten some free games added, with Darksiders, War Mastered Edition, City Skylines, Orwell Ignorance is Strength, and Rhyme all being added. So if you have Origin Access on PC, you got a whole bunch more stuff to play as well.
I don't have Origin because my PC sucks, but I'm glad to see Rhyme going into it. That game needs more love.
It does. This is a Rhyme. Pretty cool game.
And I cried like a bitch. So
I am shocked to hear that you cried during a game.
It's an emotional game, Joe.
Oh, man. Let's see. What other news do I have here? Bandai Namco's action RPG Code Vein has been delayed to 2019, which is a bummer. Although we can all sit and hope that it releases in February now.
Yeah, because February is not packed at all.
Not at all. There's nothing coming out.
It's totally an open month with everybody's going to have money out the wazoo to buy shit.
Plenty of time. Plenty of time. No games. February looks like the perfect month to release a game. You know when's a terrible time to release a game?
February?
a day after you announce it and release a trailer for it. Like The Culling 2 had this week. The Culling 2 had a surprise launch this week, and after only 24 hours, the game was down to single-digit player counts on Steam. So that seems like a pretty good start to me.
Imagine that! What in the world are these devs thinking?
They
just shrugged and completely wrote off the first one. They announced that it was never going to leave game preview. It was never going to leave early access. It just was what it was. Deal with it.
And then all of a sudden, they think
people are going to turn around and give them money a second time?
Oh, yeah.
No. I can't believe enough people did for it to have single-digit players. What the fuck are these... You got more money than you got sense. What is wrong with these people?
Well, to be fair, it's only, what, $15 this time? Which is awful...
That's still $14.99 too much.
Jeez.
And the only reason I give it the penny is because you can find that in your couch.
Well, you're not giving it the penny because it is $14.99.
Well, then fuck off then. They don't even deserve the couch penny after the way they did people over the first one.
Yeah, I think I saw something online where the peak player count was like 250, something like that. Peak. That is the most they have ever had playing the game at one time. 250
people.
Which
is sad. I give grief, but there are some people who are involved in the development of this game who probably just had no fucking choice.
Yeah.
Or they're just like, this is my job, and I gotta put food on the table. And so I feel bad for those people, but whoever decided to greenlight The Culling 2 after the way they shit on The Culling, you need to find a new job.
Yeah. The best is Carnage will occasionally send me a list of like, oh, hey, these are the games coming out this week on ID at Xbox in case there's anything that, you know, you might want to cover that you didn't know about. And I saw The Culling 2 on the list. I'm like, well, we have that one. We have that one. We're getting that one. I have an email on that one. Fuck The Culling 2. I'm not even going to bother with The Culling 2. I didn't send an email. I didn't care about it. The first game, I did not care enough because I bought the first game. I paid money for it.
And then they announced that they're mad.
Oh, I'm very mad. That's why I'm not fucking with the second game at all.
I mean, I've been known to say that when you buy a game preview game, you're taking a risk. But I feel like the risk should never be that it just gets completely abandoned.
Yeah. The risk is that the company runs out of money or the company shuts down or something important comes up that they can never finish the game. It's not, oh, we're done with this. We're moving on. We're not going to bother with it.
Yeah.
Fuck all of you. Buy our new game instead.
Yeah, it's just really, it blows my mind that that's the route that they went with it. If you had the time and the resources to make the sequel, finish the fucking first one.
Yeah.
So.
Fuck them. That's where I stand on The Culling 2. Fuck them.
We try to be so good about the devs on the show and be nice because we interview them, but fuck those guys.
I don't have any respect for a company that does that, that just bails on their game, releases a new one, what, 6 months later? Six months later, something like that.
Yeah, you're right.
So I have zero respect for them as developers and how they handled just basically canceling their original game. Yeah, Doc Havoc, the new rating system, buy it, try it, deny it, and fuck them.
Yeah.
So The Culling 2.
I'm on board with that.
The Culling 2 for $15. What's your official verdict? Fuck 'em.
Fuck 'em.
A company doing good, Blizzard, they announced that the Pink Mercy skin that they had a while back for Overwatch has raised over $12 million to support Breast Cancer Research Foundation.
Was 100% of that going to breast cancer research?
Yep.
Was it 100% or? Yeah, that's incredible.
I believe it was all of the money, $12.7 million went to Breast Cancer Research Foundation from gamers.
That's impressive. That really is.
That warms the cockles of my heart.
You have a heart?
my cold, dead, black heart.
I'm glad to hear it, though. I really am. Both that you have a heart and that the rest of the gaming community also has a heart.
Good to hear that you appreciate my heart having.
I mean, you know, sometimes we've got to be surprised. And if you're going to have bad news like the culling, then you got to follow it up with, hey, we're not all awful douchebags.
Yeah. I mean, we are, but the gaming as a whole is not.
I'm not a douchebag. I'm just.
No, but you're awful.
Occasionally, I am awful.
You don't have to be the douchebag part. The douchebag is just a bonus.
Okay. I don't want to be the douchebag because I know where those things go. I have standards, low as they may be.
I don't. last bit of news that I have is it came out, Nintendo did an interview, and they said they want to get to a point where they are releasing 20 to 30 new indie games on the Switch per week, which I think is batshit crazy.
Yeah, I feel bad for people who only review Nintendo indies right now.
20 to 30 a week they want to see.
I complain that we get a lot and that we get swamped, and that's just, I can't even imagine. I think what's some of the highest weeks we've seen is maybe, 14 or 15 on Xbox? And then all of us reviewers are like sweating and like, oh my God, we've done nothing but play games. And you're like,
like I was sweating. The last episode had 10 games for review. I get nervous when we hit 12 games for review. It's like, I don't have, you know, the show's going to be too long. There's going to be too many tags to properly do it on YouTube. It's going to be like, you have too many tags. Please delete some. I'm going to be like, son of a bitch, what company names do I have to delete to fit all of these games on there? To imagine just having 20 games a week to cover, I would cry.
I'm tired. I'm like, tired thinking of it.
This episode is going to have 7, and I'm like, that's enough.
That's a lot. we actively pushed some back because there were going to be 7. And we did the interview.
We pushed one back because of the interview.
Yes.
And we replaced it with one.
We don't want to be redundant. We want quality.
Yes. We want, quote, air quotes, quality. Not real
We're
quality.
Professional.
But like, how much is too much? When do you say that's way too many games?
Like 8. And I say that because if they're pushing so many in a week, people only have so much money, and so many games are going to lack in coverage, and so many are going to just fall through the cracks that would otherwise be fantastic games. And you already have that problem with indies anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can think of it. There are games where we just sit here on this show and we go, this was amazing. This was amazing. And for every 15 we say is amazing, there are 30 we miss that were just as good.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just, it's already hard enough to get your game noticed when you're releasing against 7 or 8 competitors. And if you've got a field of 30 every week, even 20 every week, how many people are going to go, yeah, I can drop 20 times $15 or $10?
Yeah. No one has, well, I'm sure people do, but like the casual gamer doesn't have $200 to $300 a week to spend on games. Right. And that's not even including retail releases.
If you can afford that shit, then you're working so much you ain't got time to play it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, there's got to be some kind of limit. And that's just, the biggest thing, like I said, that bothers me about it is how many are just going to fall through the cracks that deserve attention and aren't going to get it. Because that's the shit that leads to studio closures. And I'm still not over Honor Code.
Yeah.
Okay? So I just
poor Hammy.
It bothers me. Yeah, Hammy has been forgotten, but not by me. because despite all the drugs, I will forever remember.
I hope to one day take enough drugs that I'll be able to forget everything.
That is a nice way. Yeah.
I hear that typing away, you and your new microphone.
It picks up everything.
You and your loud typing. But yeah, that's all the news I got this week. Is there any other news you wanted to cover that I didn't mention?
I don't think so. I was prepared to bring up the Rocket League stuff, but you took care of that for me. So we're good. Let's go. Next.
I'm on the fucking ball. I got my shit together.
I'm so proud of you, Joe. It's because your room is less cluttered and you can find your post-it notes.
I swear it sounded like you said my broom is less cluttered.
No, I did not say broom. Get the duck poop out of your ears and let's go do reviews.
Get the duck poop out of your ear. I have never heard that saying.
Story. There's a story to that. Do you want to know?
Fuck it. Bring it on.
David's nephew, when he was maybe 6 or so, realized like his ears were clogged up. And so my mother-in-law took him, cleaned his ears out. And when he saw what was on the Q-tip, the wax, he said it looked like duck poop. And so, like, ever since, the entire family just refers to earwax as duck poop.
Oh, Lord.
And you have duck poop in your ears.
Can I just point out, I'm shocked that your story was that short.
Yeah. It was not as convoluted as it, you know, could have been.
True. So, you ready for reviews?
Yes.
Cool. First game to talk about tonight is called The Spectrum Retreat, developed by Dan Smith Studios, published by Ripstone, released July 13th on Xbox One, Switch, PC, and PS4 for $12.99. Check into The Spectrum Retreat for a stay you won't forget. Manipulate your way to the truth in this captivating narrative-driven puzzler. Cole, tell us about it.
This is my favorite kind of game because it's a puzzler mixed with walking simulator, and I am not mad at all. To top it off, it is incredibly pretty. You play from a first-person perspective as a character named Alex, who wakes up in the Spectrum Retreat, which is a hotel. It's actually, I can't pronounce it right, I think it's Penbrose or something like that.
No clue.
Yeah. Good job, Joe.
I didn't cover the game. What the fuck do you want from me? We're recording this before it's out, so I didn't even get to buy it ahead of time, like with 20XX.
Oh, right. It's not out till tomorrow, is it? Yeah. I was thinking it was already out because my embargo was up, but yes.
I just said it's out on the 13th. We're recording this on the 12th. We record on Thursdays. It releases on Saturdays. The game comes out on Friday. So no, I don't have it yet.
Joe, I appreciate that you think I listen to you when we do this.
Yeah, I feel super appreciated. Anyway, move on.
Anyway, you wake up in the hotel. And the first day, everything seems fairly mundane to start with, but you do find a strange device laying on the bed, which connects you to... it serves as a phone and connects you to a lady named Cooper. Cooper says some things that are considerably alarming, which I don't want to give away the actual plot twists that take place very early on. And I don't want to give away the story, but she says some things that are alarming. And basically, it sets you on a path to discover that what's going on at the hotel may not be what it appears on the surface. This leads to... having to authenticate yourself in order to recover your own memories about who you are and how you came to be here. So to do this, you need to find clues and find things in the world that seem out of sorts. Once you've discovered things that are out of sorts, you can move forward into a space where there are puzzles. So each floor has its own set of puzzles, and how many there are is dependent upon what floor you're on. So if you're on floor 1, there's maybe only 5 puzzles. Later floors have as many as 8 and 10 in order to clear to get to the next floor. So the puzzles all have the same basic premise. And it's going to sound insane when I start to explain them. This is one of those things that unfortunately you kind of have to see and practice to really understand. But you can use the device that you found that you've been using as a phone to manipulate blocks of color. So you got a little bit of a cube element here. You absorb the color from different blocks and platforms and things of that nature. And then you can push it to another platform or block. In doing so, you move the colors around until you can access certain areas that are barricaded. So in order to get through a color, you have to have absorbed that color into your foam, and then you're able to bypass the barriers for that color. You can't cross colors, though. So if you have absorbed red, you can't go through a green barrier. Okay. You're going to have to find somewhere to put the red and then take the green to go to the green barrier. So every level is basically trying to manipulate the colors so that you're lined up in an order that you can get to the exit.
Interesting.
It is. And like I said, I know that sounds insane. The game even straight up tells you, we're going to tell you how to play, and it's going to sound insane. It's just that once you get to it in practice, it's very easy. The first couple of levels, it's just like, move green, move red, go. As you continue to play and you progress further through the story and you unlock more of your memories, the system becomes more unstable. And so the types of puzzles obviously increase in complexity to the point where you'll have, you know, four or five colors in play at once. There's even some anti-gravity sequences where you have to actually rotate the room as well as the color schematics to get where you want to go. And it is hard. Surprisingly, I have not been stuck. And I'm on the last chapter. So it's perfectly doable. I've been playing it without a guide, obviously, because like you said, this is pre-release. There aren't guides for it. Not that I would ever use a guide for a review.
Oh, no, never.
Unless I got really stuck and needed an ending. But it's the interesting thing is that even as difficult and convoluted as it all seems, especially when you pick up a new mechanic like rotating the rooms, you still find that within a few times of actually putting the mechanic into practice, it just becomes a second nature to you. Everything feels really intuitive and the levels are just incredibly well designed. There's not been anywhere I felt like I was just repeating a process. Like everything felt like it was purposeful, if that makes sense. Everything you moved had a reason to move it, and you felt like you were accomplishing something every time you got past the barrier. Gotcha. I did have one problem.
Let's hear it.
I broke the game.
Again, shocking that would happen.
Surprise! In floor four, puzzle floor, I kind of hit a wall. And that if you get stuck, sometimes you're not able to reach the different colors or whatever to get yourself backtracked to reorient what you need to do. If that happens, you can press start and then click restart challenge and do that authentication challenge over from the beginning. I discovered that if I did that on floor four, puzzle floor, I could no longer absorb colors. Absolutely nothing would work. I couldn't shift any color. I couldn't move anything. I was just wandering around in the starting square, and that was that.
So you straight up just fucked up the game.
I fucked it up, and all I did was reset the challenge, which is something that you're inevitably gonna have to do if you suck. So,
oh, God.
I do want to say, though, that I was able to fix it just by crashing the game and reloading it again. But I had the same problem reoccur again on floor four, puzzle six. I haven't had it other than those two floors, but I've also not had to reset as much as I was on those two floors. So it could just be that the game was like, you know what? You're doing really shitty and no, take a break.
Maybe.
But it was just, it was game breaking if it didn't fix it when I crashed the game.
Well, everything is game breaking if it didn't fix it.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, like, it fixes it when you can crash the game. So there's a workaround, which is why, you know, I say it's not the most horrible thing ever, because I was able to progress, and I was able to finish off. But for that moment, you're just sitting there clicking the trigger, like, why you no work? And resetting the challenge after you've reset it and it's broken doesn't help. It's just crash it and come back and hope for the best.
Nice.
Other than that.
Other than that, for $13, what do you think of it?
This game is incredible. The voice acting is wonderful. The story has been amazing. It's very emotional. I'm probably going to cry by the end of it. I definitely recommend this. I give it a buy it.
Awesome. Sounds good. So I will have to buy this one when it is out tomorrow, and I have the opportunity and ability to buy it.
I can't believe you haven't bought it. You should have just pre-ordered it, Joe.
Is it up for pre-order?
I don't know. I don't know these things. I just know you say, hey, review this, and I say, okay.
Oh, man. Anyway, next game to talk about is called As Divine Hearts, developed by XCreate, published by Chemco, released July 6th on Xbox One and Windows 10 as a Play Anywhere title for $14.99. 1 year ago, As Divine was enveloped in a brilliant flash of light. Since that time, the influence of Shadow has only continued to grow ever more powerful across the face of the land. Now a surprising revelation awaits a young man and his childhood friend in the capital from a chubby cat claiming to be none other than the light deity and declaring the world to be on the verge of destruction. Dark Mika checked this one out and she wrote in a review, and this is what she's got to say. As Divine Hearts is an old-school turn-based JRPG. You play as Zack and his crew trying to save the human race from the Shadow Deity, one of two gods of the world. The other god is the Light Deity, a lazy shit that tried to steal Zack's body to hide in, but a cat got in the way, so is now living in a cat, which is fucking fantastic. You start with just Zack and his childhood friend Stella, a fucking nutcase with a whip.
Wow.
which is true, because I've played this before, and she's pretty crazy with that whip. The map is rather large, but it's mostly filled with nothing, which is sad. That might be because of the power of phones back when it first came out. No idea. This was originally a mobile game. You have hub worlds, which are towns and dungeons, most of which have a few parts to them. Then when you leave them, you enter the overworld. In the overworld, you walk from one hub to another and get in a fight or two randomly on your way, a la Pokemon. How about a la any JRPG ever? That's not a Pokemon thing. Beyond that, the overworld is devoid of all life, which really sucks. Would have liked some NPCs to interact with her. It's the overworld. There is nothing in the overworld. That's how JRPGs are. There's just nothing in the overworld. Towns and dungeons are also fairly sparsely placed, which makes the overworld feel even more empty. All right, Dark Mika, JRPGs, the overworld is for getting from one place to another and for grinding battles. That's it. This is how old school RPG, that's just how they are. That's what makes them RPG. I don't know. That is an invalid complaint in my eyes, because that's just how the genre is. The game lets you indefinitely level up. I've heard some people say they've gotten to level 400, which is fucking insane, honestly speaking. Beyond that, there's an interesting accessory that I've never seen in a game before, and it was actually pretty cool to mess with. You have a single face of a Rubik's Cube, and you can put Tetris-like jewels on them. The jewels have different stats, most of which are basic percent increases for a single stat. You can also get special ones and combine them to make stronger ones. It's just really cool, and I really liked it, and I just would like to find the basic color jewels a bit easier. The story overall is kind of bland. Seems to be more of a pick it up and waste some time, put it down type of game, which, I mean, is great for mobiles, which is what it originated on, just not so useful for home consoles, though. That being said, though, the conversations between the characters often have humor to them, usually at the expense of the lazy light deity, or at Stella's jealousy or her psychotic reactions to embarrassment. As such, the story might just be okay at best, but the character interactions are really worth it, and you should still enjoy the hell out of it. My only problem is the jewels you get are mostly from enemies. Their drop rate is based on the difficulty you're playing on. On easy, yeah, you get the basic ones that suck moderately often, but the rare ones, like hell. However, on expert, the hardest difficulty, you get them without much issue. These jewels are where most of your real power comes from, so you need these. As such, the game kind of pushes you into playing on expert. That requires a metric fuck ton of experience farming, which is what the overworld is for. That leads to the game being a pickup, play it a bit, put it down type of game, which is fine on mobile, not so much. You already said that. After all, leveling is, well, kind of boring, and we all know it. Granted, luck, something I don't have, has a nice bit to play, has a nice bit part to play in fight, so you might have a much easier time than me, because I'm not lucky, like, at all. The pricing is all over the place. The game is 10 on Steam, 13 on Switch, 15 on Xbox One and PS4. I think 10 is probably a good price for it for the average person. If you love these old-school XP farming RPGs, because I know they exist, people love the old Final Fantasy games for the exact reason. For them, 15 is totally worth it. Everyone else, I suggest waiting for a small sale on the Xbox One and PS4, then pick it up. I'm sure Joe has a different opinion, though. I have a slight... I have a slightly different opinion on the pricing. It was 10 on Steam because you got it just on Steam. 13 on the Switch because I guess 15 is the normal console price for it. And it's just the Switch and you're only getting it on the one platform. So it's a couple bucks cheaper. The PS4 version, that $15 gets you the PS4, the PS3, and the Vita version. So you're getting three copies of the game for one price.
Damn.
Yeah. On Xbox, you're getting the Xbox One and the Windows 10 version of the game, so you're getting two copies of the game, and one of the perks that the Xbox version has over PlayStation is cross-save. That was one of my gripes with Kemco games on PS4, is that they have cross-buy, so you get them on multiple platforms, but they don't have cross-save. So your progress doesn't carry over between the different versions of the game. The game on Xbox One and Windows 10 is Play Anywhere and has cross-save, so you can start playing on PC, pick it up on your Xbox, later on go on your tablet or your laptop, your Windows Surface tablet, whatever, and play it on there and continue your progress. So I think the $15 for getting cross-buy and cross-save is absolutely worth it.
Yeah, sounds like it.
And I've been a big proponent of JRPGs on Xbox One to begin with, so if you're an RPG fan... This might not be the most advanced game, but if you're a fan of retro RPGs, I definitely think it's worth buying, and I already bought it the moment it went on sale. I bought that son of a bitch. Support JRPGs on Xbox One, damn you. So I expect everybody listening to this episode to buy As Divine Hearts on Xbox One and Windows 10 and play it and enjoy it and love it forever. Anyway, next game to talk about is called Nidhogg 2, developed and published by Messhoff, released releasing July 19th on Xbox One for $14.99. The rules are simple, reach the other side and kill anyone that stands in your way. Deftly parry and rend their throats, riddle their bowels with arrows, or squish their brains between your toes. The worm cares not for chivalry. Cole, what is this game?
This game is absolute insanity. You start off choosing your game mode, whether you're going to play arcade, which is the single player experience, or you're going to play multiplayer, which you can play local or online. We all know how much I love when games have online co-op or multiplayer. It's not co-op on this, it's 1v1 multiplayer. You can actually have more than, I think you can have up to an 8-person party, actually. I did not get a chance to try it with that many people, though. But the entire premise of the game is you have a 2D side-scrolling arena, if you will, and your goal is to get from one scene to the next as quickly as possible without getting dead too many times from your opponent. So it seems fairly simple because it is. It's just... get to the final screen. You have an unlimited number of respawns. So you can take your good old sweet time, let your opponent get a pretty good way across the screens, and then kill them and take over everything and make them hate themselves, which I did when I played this online with Shiz. Nice. You have kind of like a mishmash trollish orc looking like character. There are several different customization options available. You can make your character look however you want. You can choose a color for them. I like to use the pink with the skull shirt and a flower in her hair. That way when you murderate somebody with a bow and arrow, they feel awful about themselves. the game starts in the very beginning. You start in the middle of all the screens. The first person to get a kill then tries to move. If you're the character on the left, you want to go right. If you're on the right, you want to go left. The game will tell you whatever color you've chosen, your arrow will come up and point the way you need to move. You can see in the middle, you know, how many screens are left. And basically, every time you die, you get a new weapon. And you will spawn back up in front of your opponent again. Or you can kill your opponent, obviously, and then run the direction you need to go to get to their final screen. But they can pop back up in front of you and take you out. I want to say there were 12 levels. I can't remember specifically. There's a huge variety of different levels to run through. Some of them are fairly cut and dry and just, they don't have a lot in the way of obstacles or anything. Others are absolutely brutal in that there will be giant gaps to try to get across, or there will be, there's grinders at the ends of conveyor belts, or some of them have tall grass, so if you don't jump, your opponent might be sitting in the grass. If they spawn in the grass, they could duck down and have their weapon ready, and you could just be running along thinking they haven't spawned yet, and you get impaled.
Nice.
There are four different weapon types. There's a regular, like a fencing sword, a broadsword, a small dagger, and then the bow and arrow. You can either just like try to run up on each other and press X to fight it out, or you can throw your weapon. Of course, with the bow and arrow, you can shoot the arrows or you can throw the bow. If you shoot the arrows, though, you have to be careful because your opponent, if they time it well enough, they can parry the arrow back at you and kill you with your own shit. It is very fast-paced, high energy. It's a lot of fun. Because you're never really sure what's going to happen. And it's a lot of back and forth. You can set custom level settings, whereas the games either don't take a long time or can have an infinite amount of time. So you can let it go on as long as you want to.
Nice.
There were games where we were playing multiplayer where we had it set to 10 minutes and we would run out of time and have to go to sudden death. And in sudden death, it's just whoever gets that hit and kills the other first. That wins the whole shebang. Like, there was once instance
the
where
whole shebang or the whole shizbang?
Whole shizbang there, K4. There was once where when Shiz and I were playing, like, he was fighting hard, and he spent the whole level one scene away from my final screen. And I never let him actually get there. And then all of a sudden, it went sudden death. I ran out the time and I stabbed him once and I won, even though he was in the lead the whole game. It was
so
absolutely
dickish.
Incredible, and he was so mad.
That is so dickish. That is fantastic.
Loved it, though. It was incredible to play like that. We played well over an hour, maybe even two. But when we played the first time, we were playing private games. And we were just, he'd invite me or I'd invite him, and we'd go at it and fight each other for a little while. And it was fine. The game wasn't exactly the most responsive every time. Sometimes you would have a bullshit jump when you would fall in a pit and die. And you're like, I know I jump better than that.
It happens,
but
though.
There was like the occasional instance of, you know, a little bit of lag. But that was kind of to be expected because Shiz is in Canada and I'm not.
Oh, Canada.
We tried to play a second time, however, where we used the matchmaking sequence instead of just doing invites for a private game.
Mm-hmm.
That did not go as well.
Really?
And when I say that did not go as well, I mean it was unbearably laggy. Just, I can't even describe how badly the game stuttered and just really seemed to struggle, which was so crazy because when we had played it just 2 days before in private, it was perfectly fine. And that was even with Shiz streaming and, you know, using up his bandwidth for that. I don't know what happened the second time we played other than just switching to the regular matchmaking as opposed to playing invite. I wonder
if it was a situation where, because it's pre-release, again, the game doesn't come out until the 19th. So I wonder if it was just a pre-release where the servers aren't up and running at full strength yet, or maybe they were doing maintenance or something.
That's basically what I'm hoping for, because it was really severe. I haven't played again since, but when we played that time, there were only 6 people on the leaderboard, including me and Shiz. We played for, even still, I think we played for another 2 hours, just doing the online matchmaking like that.
Just grinding in achievements.
But it was problematic because it took us, we were the only 2 people on. We never found anybody but each other, but it would take forever. And then when we did get in a game, it was very laggy. So I'm hoping, again, like you said, that it's just a case of it's pre-release. Maybe the servers still have a few bugs to knock out, and it'll be different on launch, because as it is, it's so much fun, and the multiplayer is what sells it, because playing against the AI is just not the same. Because they cheat, and all they do is throw their shit at you. But I really enjoyed it, and I want to get to play it with other people. And I want it to work when I do that.
Makes sense.
But do you want to ask me my final opinion?
I mean, I guess so. $15, what's your official verdict on it?
Even with the questionable servers at the current time, I still give it a buy it, because it's that much fun.
Nice. I've heard so much good about it. I think my friend Tim covered it on the PS4 when it first came out over there, and he absolutely loved it as well. So I am eager to grab this next week when it launches.
Good. You should. And then you can play it, and then I will murderate you, but I'll wait until sudden death and let you think you're going to win.
Cool. Sounds good. Speaking of Tim, I'm about to tag you out and tag him in for a guest review. Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right, getting the hot tag once again. Tim Ekibis, how are you doing?
I'm good.
It's always a hot tag with you.
Yeah, it is.
We tag out from the rest of the show. We jump in with you, then we do a review.
Yeah, it gets just the wrestling shows up. I just almost did an Aiden English bit because we were doing that right before you hit record.
Rusev Day.
Yeah, because we got a review about a song.
The Lion Song.
Lion Song.
The game is called The Lion Song, developed and published by Mipumi Games, released July 10th on the Switch for $9.99. The Lion Song is a narrative adventure game steeped in early 20th century history and focuses on a cast of Austrian artists and scientists, with each episode taking a closer look at their intimate struggles with creativity and inspiration. Tim, what is this game?
What is this game? This is a 4-episode narrative adventure game. So, yeah, it's 4 episodes. Each episode is, I don't know, half hour, 45 minutes to an hour. Depends. The first one seems to be the shortest. The second and third and fourth are a bit longer. Which I think is like when it was first released on like other devices, I think the first episode was free. So it makes sense that one's a little shorter. Doesn't matter. Still good. Anyways. it's a narrative adventure game. It is not about solving puzzles. It's not about, you know, finding different objects and combining them and using them and giving to people, you know, et cetera, stuff like that. There really isn't much in the way of puzzle solving in this game. This game is just mostly about interacting with other characters and just kind of with the environment around you, which, depending on your character, will lead to various inspirations, which, man, that sounds reductive and lame when I say it like that. It's so not. It really it's a really good-looking game. Yeah, like you said, it's pre-World War I Vienna. It kind of has, like, this all-classic, like, sepia-tone pixel art environments and characters. That they're just like well animated, like the scenes are just very nicely composed with how they're like shaded and layered. It just looks, got a really good style to it overall. So yeah, you play as these different characters. This is like pre-World War I Vienna, to be really specific about it. You have a musician, a painter, a mathematician, and then like a guy. He's a journalist.
<guy.
laughs> The fourth chapter is interesting. It's like a little bit different than the other ones, which I'll get into, I guess, in a second. But yeah, so it's like the first episode, for example, you are this composer, this student of composition, actually, who she's in this cabin working on her new composition to be debuted at like a concert in like a week because her professor is a dick. He's not a dick, but he's like, yo, you got this. I guess he's super confident in her. He's like, yeah, go up to my cabin for a week and you'll figure it out. You'll compose some crap. So, you know, it's her trying to find her inspirations and compose something great. And, you know, deal with kind of her own personal struggles, at the same time. So you'll be like, just kind of clicking around depending on like what her holdback is, or at the moment what's in her way. You know, you'll click around the cabin, you there's a little bit of area outside the cabin, you go out and like kind of look at stuff, and will help bring music into your brain. And there's also this guy there who he calls you on the phone. It's a wrong number, but he gets you, and you know, he calls back a couple times. You can have different interactions with him. Then the second chapter is about a painter and him trying to find different subjects to paint. The third one's about a mathematician who is a woman, scandalous, trying to push her way into the boys' club of mathematicians at the local cafe, but they don't want a woman in there, so she ends up, you know, cross-dressing as a guy and kind of leading this dual life as two facets of herself. Yeah, that was my favorite chapter. That one was really cool and had some really cool concepts and stuff into it. And then finally, yeah, you're a journalist who is a former journalist. He'd gone to officer school. Like at this point, World War I has broken out and you and three other people are on your way to join the war. The character you're controlling is an officer. The other guys are grunts. But it kind of sums up everything, as those characters have ties back to the previous three characters that you played around with. But all of these stories play into each other and reference each other in sometimes like really subtle ways, but it's really interesting to kind of like see how different things pop up, or different characters referenced in different chapters pop up in other chapters. When you get to these, so as you go through, you know, like I said, not really puzzle solving, it's mostly like dialogue choices. You know, it's how you interact with other characters. It's you poke around the environment. It's how you go about your business. And there are some choices where the story can kind of diverge a little bit. So when you get to the end of a chapter, the game will show you your choices. Not unlike, you know, if you've played any of the Telltale games, which who hasn't played at least one of them at this point?
No.
Those, you know, you'll get to the end of a chapter and it'll be like, well, this percentage of people did this. This percentage of people did this. It has a thing like that. But also they're like, well, if you want to go back and change a choice, you can just go right back to this particular decision to change it and then move on. And because the chapters aren't overly long, especially once you kind of know how to move through them and you've read the dialogue once, you can go back and change those decisions and then, you know, fly forward to the next one. But it's cool because there's actually like a little gallery on the main menu you can go into where they show you kind of all the connections you've made between the different chapters, which does give you like something to shoot for in going back to these different chapters. And, you know, more so than just making decisions, but just trying to uncover more of how they intertwine with one another in like different layers of the story and stuff like that. Yeah, I think I hit all my notes. So yeah, this game, yeah, I played through it in pretty much four sittings, just sat down, played a chapter per sitting. The story is good. The characters are interesting. Like just the way it the whole thing is just like really well done. You know, for the scale of the game that it's going for here, the art is good. The writing is good. The scenarios are interesting. The themes are interesting. The way things tie into each other is cool and satisfying. It doesn't like overstay its welcome. You're not going to be in situations where you're banging your head against a wall trying to get through a puzzle, because those don't exist. It's all about, you know, guiding your character from you know, through their inspirations to you know, where they end up in the end.
So it sounds like a short and sweet experience with pretty well done execution.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I don't usually go for this type of, I was commenting to a friend of mine at some point, like last year. I don't know whether it was after I tried playing Life is Strange or whatever, but these games, like, I was at some point just, or no, I was playing Day of the Tentacle last year, and I was just kind of like, eh, and I was kind of coming to this point where I'm just like, maybe, like, adventure games just aren't for me. Like, maybe I just get bored, maybe they're too slow-paced, maybe I'd rather just be reading a book. So it says something that, like, I got into this one and really enjoyed it. So yeah, if you're a fan of this style of game, like, pfft, slam dunk right here. But even if you're not, it might be worth checking out just because of how manageable and well written it is. You know, it's yeah, I don't know. I find myself wandering around a lot in Telltale games, not quite knowing what to do next sometimes. Then you get back to like those old you know, Scum games, which are even more obscure, and I'm just like, fucking, I don't know. I didn't get time for this shit, man. I got through Broken Age. Broken Age was fun, but
Well, the Lion Song, $10. What is your official verdict on this
one? My official verdict is to buy it. Though I will say for consideration, I think it is a little bit cheaper on other devices like Android and your phone if you want to play it on there, but who does that?
I'd rather play it on the Switch screen.
One thing that's a bummer, this thing doesn't have touch support.
What?
Yeah, you have to use the controls. That is the one downside of this game. Like, it's fine, like, you know, it's not like the screen is so large that it's a drag to drag the cursor around. Yeah, that one's free right there. But it is like, it's clear that, like, man, if they had just put touch support in this, it really would have been perfect. But maybe, I don't know, maybe just the prompts are too small or something like that. Maybe there was some reason why they couldn't do it, but that is like my one gripe. Minor gripe, but it's a gripe.
Sounds good. So, overall.
Other than that, overall, yeah, it's good. Cool. I hadn't heard about this game. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm glad we got you something that you enjoyed as well.
I know.
Because you've had a couple of stinkers in a row.
Yeah, yeah.
You sound relieved as well.
I know. It was like I was thirsting after Rainbow Skies because I had that one sitting on me for 3 weeks, and I was just like, oh god, I need a palate cleanser here. Yeah, palate cleansed.
All right,
Sally Forth.
Good stuff. Well, Tim, always good having you on chatting about this stuff. Any final thoughts?
You excited for Extreme Rules?
I don't know.
No,
I'm more excited for SmackDown after because I'm going.
Oh, well, cool for you. I hope it's the begin of the build to SummerSlam.
I'm sure it'll suck, because I'm going.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. Is it the beginning of the build to SummerSlam? Yeah, I'm sure they'll throw some stuff out there, see who's challenging Mr. Styles. Oh, wait. Am I tipping my hand that I don't think Rusev is going to win? Poor Rusev. That would be crazy, man. If he won, that would be awesome. Like, the opposite of how, you know, Jinder Mahal winning last year, if Rusev won. You know, that would be the surprise that I would actually enjoy. But no, I think, you know, I look forward to Team Hell No. I hope Asuka murders Carmella, but they're doing the shark cage thing. So that's going to end the way shark cage
shenanigans.
That's going to end the way shark cage matches do. I think Jeffrey against Nakamura will be good.
Jeffrey.
I hope Nak wins because I've heard Jeff Hardy's like hurting.
He looked like he was kind of gimping when he ran out the other day.
Yeah, that Lashley Reigns match is going to get booed
big time.
There was something else on that card I was really looking forward to. I can't remember what it was now. Oh, the Iron Man match. There.
Oh, that should be a good one.
Yep. Yeah. Right there. Boom. Excited.
The best part, if Rusev does win the title at Extreme Rules, it happens on Rusev Day.
Yeah. And then you get to see him in person as the champion.
I do. I would.
Rusev Day.
All right, and we're back with us. Hooray, you're back. You got tagged back in.
Yes.
You got tagged back in on Rusev Day, and you don't get that joke at all because you weren't here for that?
Nope.
Hooray.
I was just going to roll with it, assuming it was a wrestling thing.
It is very much a wrestling thing.
See, I'm so smart.
I love when Tim is on because he's the only guy I can really talk wrestles with.
You can talk all the wrestles with Tim, but I'm not there for it. I'm sorry.
I need a wrestle buddy. I need a wrestle buddy on the show. And Tim is only on like every other show or like maybe twice a month, if that. So
here.
I need more wrestle buddies.
It's going to be okay. What's next?
Next game to talk about is called Epic Loon, developed by Macrolace. I think it's Macrolace. I'm so bad with these names. Developed by Macrolace Studios, published by Yakuza, released July 13th on Xbox One, Switch, and PC for $14.99. Dive into the bizarre world of Epic Loon, a quirky physics platformer for up to four players, playable in couch co-op or battle mode. An offbeat tribute to classic sci-fi movies, players lead a group of aliens to take over Joe's TV, not mine, but a different Joe, after they are rudely awakened from their home, an old-school cleaning VHS tape. Cole, tell us, what is this game?
Weird. I've never heard another game use the term quirky to describe itself, because that's exactly what I was going to say. And I don't even know that quirky is sufficient. Sometimes you've just got to let quirky slide and just say, this shit was weird.
This shit is fucked up. That is what I will say. This shit is fucked up.
Okay.
I thank you, Carnage, for 10 biddies, because all your wrassels are belong to us.
Carnage can apparently be your wrassel buddy.
I wish.
He can make puns about the wrassels. And this game, though.
Wrassels.
This game is kind of like wrestling, but without all the wrestle stuff.
How does that work at all?
Because it's physics-based, so, like, you play four-player multiplayer. I think it's only local, though. I don't think there was online. Local only. And the goal, I played it with bots. We've been through this. My family's bad at games. The goal is to get to the exit, and you're playing as a little alien that is inside of some weird, funky knockoffs of classic horror movies. Not all horror movies, but the first one is a horror movie.
Just classic movies.
Classic movies, yeah. The description says sci-fi. I don't think they're all sci-fi either, though. I don't know. Classic movies. The first one being Nosferacula. Which is an obvious rip on Nosferatu and Dracula. It's basically kind of looks like you're inside an old tube TV and playing a game that has been recorded from a VHS. They've done an incredible job.
Words can't go into how stylish this is visually.
It really does just look. I lived through that time period.
Oh, this same is here. What
movies and nostalgia is for me when I think of VHS tapes and watching Dracula and shit like that. So this was a little too real. Did you play as the little aliens? You can choose what your alien looks like. There's four of them to choose from. If you actually complete some of the movies, you get different costumes and stuff to spice up your little alien with.
That's a big if,
because they're hard. They're very hard.
It's very hard. It's
physics based, like we keep repeating, but there's collision. You can bump into, that's where I made the wrestling references, because you bump into the people that you're playing with. And as you guys progress through the level, everything moves. Like if you're trying to launch yourself, one level has you going over, glasses and a broken wine bottle. You start under the glass and you have to launch yourself around to move that glass and get it off of you. And then as you jump on and off of the glass and onto different platforms around the level, they will move and shift, and it changes every time you go back to try to, you know, attempt it again if you fail, because there's some edges will be kind of like a glitchy red color because it'll be something sharp that can kill you. Or you can just fling yourself off the map, which I did plenty of times.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You think you're going to go where you're trying to get, and then you just go, wee, and you're gone. Thankfully, we're in a position where there is not a limited number of respawns again. And you can keep trying this shit over and over until somebody finally makes it to the exit. The exit looks like a little portal tear. And it changes, you know, every level it's somewhere different. Some levels it's moving, some levels it's under, you know, certain dangers or whatever, but basically
I think some of the levels could actually be random as well, because I played it in story mode and I played it in battle mode, and the one stage on battle mode had a different location for the exit than in the story. So it might be random on all or some of the levels. I didn't really figure that out yet.
Yeah. So it's, you know, the primary goal is get your alien to the hole and progress through the full movie to finish it. It sounds easy. It seems like it should be easy. You can play the game one-handed so, you know, that you can hold a beer with the other one. But it is not easy because you do bump into each other and the world does shift. The way that you launch yourself through the level is you press X to make your alien kind of flatten out and stick to wherever it's at. And then a little, I'm not even sure what you would call that.
It's so weird. It
sticks out of his head. Like, it's just like a little pointer, essentially, will come out of his head and it moves left to right and right to left. Basically, when you press the button again, it will launch you in whatever direction that little pointer is aimed at. So your goal is ideally to launch yourself from one safe platform to the next, stick to it, move to the next platform until you get out.
Again, simple in theory.
You're not going to go where you aim all the time. Part of it is because, you know, you may think you're going to be fine and then your buddy comes along and smacks into you. Or because the world shifts while you're mid-jump and there just isn't anything you can do. You can press X again to go out of, like, the sticky mode and try to plan your landing a little better. It never worked for me. It did not matter what I did. That little alien went where he wanted to go. And it was pretty rough. So each movie is broken down, though, into three acts, and each act has a set number of levels. And ideally, you want to get from A to B in each level and get out and move on. I'm sure this is probably better played with friends. I had an absolute blast playing it with, you know, bots, and I did not mind at all, although they are assholes.
Yeah. They will ruin your day very easily. Yeah.
Once you complete a movie, you unlock hardcore mode. I wasn't brave enough to even try it. I was like, oh, that's a thing. Okay, bye. And that was that. Like, you tell me hardcore mode, and I'm like, I barely got through the first one. I'm good. I think there's four movies.
Each of them has, I think, like 30 stages to go through.
Yeah. It's time consuming to actually go through all of them. And the game only saves at the acts. So if you stop and come back, you're going to be at the beginning of whatever act you were on. So don't stop at the end of act three.
I wish it saved in levels. Like, yeah. I wish I could go back to the level that I stopped at instead of having to redo the entire act.
Right. It was incredibly frustrating, especially given that, you know, the levels are hard and they're hard enough as it is. And you're just like, I barely got through this the first time. Please don't make me do it again. Never mind. Here we go. We're doing it again. One thing that I was grateful for, there were a few levels that just, no matter what I did, I couldn't get through them. The AI beat me to the end. The biggest punishment is that you have to play as a little spaceship with inverted controls. And then you get, like, you hit one of the other players, and then you get your alien back and you get to go. So if you don't complete every level, you can still finish the movie.
That's cool.
I was really, really, because I was like, the first one where the three AI beat me and then I died, that's when it just goes, nah, you're done. We're moving on. And it will move on. And then you just play the little spaceship. It's rough when you first start because there's no explanation about what you're doing with that little spaceship. And you're just flying around going, I don't know why I'm a thing right now. And then eventually you just hit somebody and it gives you your character back. And you're like, oh, never mind, I'm good. And then you shit on all of them and beat the bots.
So overall, this is such a weird, weird game. I don't even know how to go into, like, the humor of the game is definitely going to be hit or miss for a lot of people. I know in the Nosferacula movie, there was what I think could be a sticky situation with a rape joke, which kind of landed flat for me. And, like, I don't mind humor like that, but I know a lot of people do.
Yeah. And so. It was like it's one of those two where it hits, and even just like the voice actor's voice kind of indicates that he's not sure it hit right.
Yeah. Like I heard it cringed. And like it didn't offend me because that, like, I'm hard to offend with shit like that. But as soon as I heard the line, I was like, that's going to piss someone off.
It's a bit much. And again, I don't like the whole, oh, I'm offended. I'm not necessarily offended, but you hear it, you just kind of go, that wasn't good. Yeah. You could have carried on without that part.
Yeah. And it was just so blunt about it, too. It's like, I walked in and he got raped. It's like, why?
And then he goes, hey, ladies. And you're just like, no. There's also a sequence where you have to bounce your alien off of a guy's crotch to get into a vampire's mouth.
Yeah, I don't see the problem there at all.
And it was just like, the her boobs are out. Thankfully, you know, they censor the nipple. I don't know.
Which I don't get, because there's F-bombs in the game. It's definitely not a game for kids.
Odd. And I think it was just like, why? You had the rape joke. You've already got the dick joke here with bouncing off of his nutsack to get into her mouth. Why'd you bother censoring the boobs at this point?
No, boobs are awesome.
It was just a little weird, and just a little weird to basically be your biggest statement about the game as a whole. Yeah. And it's kind of hard to tell if the weirdness is always good. Like, a lot of the levels, I was like, oh, I enjoy this. And then there were a few where I'm just like, why are we doing this?
It's definitely hit or miss with the humor. I will say the music is fucking awesome in this game. I love the music.
As an 80s and 90s kid, I liked the music. I was down for that.
I don't remember the band name. I think it's like Proprium or something weird, but it is some awesome, awesome music, and I've got to search out that band and check them out. But overall, $15 on this one. What do you think of it?
I'm gonna give it a try it. Not because it's not bad. It's just that, so, like you said, the humor is gonna fall flat, and it's just not gonna be something that everybody's gonna jump into and pick up and love. There are gonna be people who are gonna be like, this does not need to exist.
Yeah. And it's hard.
It's not meant for everybody. And that's in normal. Like I said, I didn't even play hardcore. And I don't even want to know how hard hardcore gets.
I can't even begin to imagine.
I want to cry as it is.
Anyway, next game to talk about is called The Moose Man, developed by Vladimir Bletsky and Mikhail Shvachko, I'm going with. I hope I didn't piss anyone off by saying their name wrong, but published by Sometimes You. It released July 18th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $6.99, so it'll be out next week. You are the Moose Man, and you have the ability to see all that is hidden around you that is hidden to the mortal eye. I can't talk today again. You are about to visit three layers of this universe. The first one is the lower world, where the spirits of the dead reside. Dark Mika covered this one as well, and here's what she's got to say. The Moose Man is a 2D side-scrolling walking sim that has simple puzzles. It's based on the Finno-Ugric tribe's pagan mythos, which words. You play as one of the seven sons to the creator of the universe, Yen. Yeah, your daddy, Yen. He fucked up. He killed a moose that heated all three worlds that Yen himself created, and he knew that the moose heated all three worlds, so there's that. So he tells the sons that they have to do some of that moose fire and bring it from the lower world, which is the land of the dead, to the middle world where the humans reside, and then to the upper world where the gods reside. By doing this, they will bring heat back to the world, saving it from a wintry death. But they must do this constantly for all time, because Daddy Yen is a fuck-up. Wow, that is an interesting premise. The story is told in Russian, I believe. It has English subtitles. They're posted on the screen. The font is honestly fucking terrible. It's big and stretched out and hard to read, and they just picked the worst font possible. Beyond that, beyond just the straightforward cutscenes that tell you the active story you're playing, there's also backstory that you get by playing through the game. This backstory is text readables, and they provide more lore behind what's going on and informing you of who characters are and such. They're actually a good read. I rather enjoyed it. If you're aiming to just finish the game, it's mostly fairly easy. However, to get some of the collectibles is super fucking hard, as some puzzles that provide you with the collectibles are stupidly hard to figure out. I had to use guides to solve some of these optional puzzles. So fucking hard. It's fun, though. That being said, it's a fairly short game. Took me around 3 to 4 hours to beat it. For $7 on Steam, Xbox, and PS4, I suggest it. It's also on the Switch, but I don't know how much it costs on there. Pretty sure it's still the same, $6.99. It's about $2 to $3 per hour of gameplay, and if you're trying to figure out the harder puzzles without a guide, you could spend even longer playing the game and smashing your head into a wall. I think the game is worth it. It's decent price. It's an interesting game that gives you some, a tale, words there, fun, that gives you a tale from another culture. I love games like that, both fun and educational. Fuck, I might be a nerd. Damn it. Oh, well, anyways, I don't think anyone would really dislike it, so I suggest this for everyone. It's just interesting from art style to music to story. Good stuff.
Mika, I suggest it isn't one of our ratings.
Yeah, I know. So I guess that goes with try it.
Okay.
Good. It sounds weird as hell. So
weird as hell is the best thing, though.
That's one I'm definitely going to have to check out. So, anyway, next game to talk about is called Super Destronaut DX, developed by Petite Games, published by Rattleika Games, released July 11th on Xbox One for $4.99. Inspired by an arcade classic, Super Destronaut DX is a retro space shooter that pits you against enemy more dreaded than a UFO, a scoreboard. Cole, what is this game?
I was trying to figure out where that summary was going when it said an enemy more dangerous than a UFO, because the whole premise is this is Space Invaders.
Yeah, it is.
It is pretty, pretty Space Invaders. And it's just the whole premise of your little ship at the bottom and you pull the trigger to shoot and just shoot the aliens that come down in formation and move on to the next.
I mean, there are a couple things that set it apart from Space Invaders. The enemy placement is random. They have some power-ups in the game. And then the interesting I saw, which was kind of irritating at first, but I learned to appreciate it, was the background is constantly scrolling towards you, and you'll see enemies there that you just have to straight up avoid. You can't shoot them, anything.
There are great enemies, and then they will just fuck your world if you run into them. You have several different modes that you can play this in, and the enemies are there speeding toward you from the ground in every one of them. So that is a big twist to Space Invaders. Otherwise, it's basically pretty much exactly. There is a alien that will spawn at the top of some of the formations that has power-ups. If you kill that one particular alien, then you can get a few different weapon types, but they're entirely random. There isn't anything you can choose as to whether or not it's what you want. You have no idea what you're going to get. You just shoot that little bastard and good luck.
Yep.
You can play classic mode, and it is just you versus the leaderboard, just trying to get, you know, the scoreboard, trying to get as many points as you want. There is also a time attack. There is also a challenge mode. There are 40 different challenges available.
And some of them are fucking hard, too.
Some of them are insane. I was very grateful you could just skip some. I'm like, this one's tough. I'm going to go play a different one. And that's exactly what I did. Because some of those, they're like, oh, get 50,000 points in classic mode in 30 seconds. And I'm like, yeah, fuck you. The bright side is
the time challenges are pretty brutal.
Yeah. The plus side is that because it's all random, like, every time you try it again, you might just have a better layout of enemies. That happened a few times where the challenge would be like, you know, clear out 25 enemies in 30 seconds or whatever, and you would get layouts where it's the enemies that you have to hit 4 or 5 times to kill.
Yeah.
And you're just not doing it. You're not. But then if you try again, you might get a better layout where it's the little red enemies that you can pop one time and they die. And there's like 50 of them. So it's just luck based, but it's very easy and you just keep trying until you do eventually get it.
I think the only other real thing to point out with this game is achievement hunters are going to love this game.
Love it. Yeah. You want to tell them why, or you want me to tell them why?
I completed the game, all 1,000 achievement points, in 23 minutes.
I didn't time myself, but it was also under a half hour. And when you realize that I play everything slow as shit, because I'm trying to break it.
Yeah.
Then the fact that I still played everything there was to play in under half an hour. Wow. That said,
it was a fun half hour, and I kept playing it after that half hour because I was having a lot of fun with it.
I play it again. And I have said for a long time that I miss fucking Space Invaders, and I just want simple, run-of-the-mill, don't have to think about it, just shoot the alien Space Invaders. And here we finally are. And I was so tickled with it that as soon as you were like, do you want this? And I saw what it was, I was like, yes, please. Because I needed a game like this, and I was so happy for it.
So $5 on it, what do you think?
It's a fuck it, why not? It's good anyway, it's a buy it as it is. But at $5, just do it. Play some damn Space Invaders and be happy.
Buy it ranks above fuck it, why not? So are you giving it a buy it or a fuck it, why not?
Buy it. Just buy it then.
Yeah.
But at $5, you still say, just fuck it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cheap. It's fun. It's an easy completion if you're into achievements or trophies or whatever. I'm not sure if it's on PS4 or not. I didn't have time to look it up because I'm moving. So, yeah.
There's literally nothing to be mad at here.
It's fun. I had a lot of fun with it, and I definitely recommend other people pick it up as well, especially because, again, it's only $5. So do it up. Anyway, final game that we are going to cover tonight is this is a freelance kind of job. Dark Mika had a preview of a game that she wanted to share with the world, and she just fucking sent it to me to read on the show. So it is for the game The Cinema Rosa. It is a preview. The game is by Atreyu Games and is up on Kickstarter right now. We'll have a Kickstarter link in the description if you want to check it out. She says, The Cinema Rosa is a spooky puzzle adventure game, maybe a walking sim, not entirely sure. You play as some random person, your character wasn't explained in the demo, the game is narrated by an unnamed man straight from the start, that might or might not be who you are in the game, I'm not sure. Again, this is a demo, a Kickstarter demo for a preview, so, the puzzles you solve in the game change rooms within the cinema from abandoned ransack rooms to what the cinema looked like back in its heyday. Hopefully they polish the game some more as they finish the game because some of the items in the game look rather generic. The puzzles were pathetically easy. One puzzle, you pick up a film reel and walk to the next room and place it. There's a puzzle. That's it. This opens a tiny door in a hallway that connects to the previously mentioned rooms. It has a key in it. You take that key to a door that's directly behind where you pick it up. That's two puzzles. Done in under a minute. It's like harder, more I'd like harder, more complex puzzles, something more akin to an escape the room type of game. Voice acting work was fantastic though, and so was the atmosphere. The story sounds unique and the various puzzles are easy, but they also have some range and the difference in them is pretty nice. I only had two real issues with the game. One, it uses Unreal 4, which means you need a newer PC to deal with this. A high-end i5, maybe an i7 at minimum to get it to work. The other issue is a more serious one. The puzzles are excessively easy. It really needs harder, more complex puzzles. If your computer can handle it, try the demo. It's a good waste of about an hour. If you want to try the demo, you need to contact Atreyu on Twitter, at Atreyu Games. Puzzles might be meh, but the story and the voice acting are really good. So there you have it. The Cinema Rosa, again, it is on Kickstarter now. I think they only have like a $9,000 goal, something like that.
Oh, wow.
So it doesn't seem like it should be too hard to get funded, But again, link to the Kickstarter will be in the description, so give it a look if you're interested.
Nice.
Yeah, well, that is it for this episode. Almost 2.5 hours, not too bad.
That's not bad at all.
Not horrible, considering we had the interview and all, so.
We're getting back to our 3 and 4 hour times.
Oh, God, I hope not. We just have to...
What is it about? I imagine around February of 2019 is when shit will hit the fan again.
Oh, Christ. Oh, shit. I'm sure the summer rush is going to hit soon. It's been getting more and more packed as it goes on, so... I don't know. We'll find out. But that is it for this episode. Cole, do you have any final words to end it?
I do not this week. I'm sorry.
I was waiting for you to go just fuck him.
Yeah, I missed an opportunity there, didn't I?
Okay, what do you think of your co-host?
Fuck him!
We'll be right back.